Good morning. It is 5:55 a.m. on a Wednesday, July the 1st. It's July, people. We're just now careening our way to the holiday weekend. You're listening to the best of Kevin and Bean here on the world-famous K-Rock 106.7 KROQ-FM. I'm Ralph Garman doing the Showbiz Beat live all week while Kevin and Bean relax somewhere at a nudist colony, just slathering sunscreen on each other. But we will get you to the holiday weekend, I promise. Today's going to be a great show. We've got comedian Brad Williams stopping by live in the studio. He's going to hang out for a couple Showbiz Beats, keep me company. We'll also be looking at all the big movies that are opening up for the long 4th of July weekend. So a lot of show here today, and I hope you stick around and listen to all of it. Meanwhile, let's get to some of the show business news. Sad news for those who love love. Ben Affleck and Jennifer Garner apparently have released a statement to Us Weekly saying, after much thought and careful consideration, we don't like each other. No, they said, we have made the difficult decision to divorce. They plan to go forward with love and friendship for one another and are committed to co-parenting their three children. They, of course, beg for your privacy, their privacy, at this difficult time. How come celebrities are the only ones who just love each other so much and are just such good friends that they just have to get divorced? They're the only ones who divorce out of love instead of saying, get away from me, like everybody else does. The announcement came one day after their 10th wedding anniversary. They met on the set of Pearl Harbor in 2001, so their love was doomed forever because that movie was awful. Speaking of movies, it's the anniversary, the 100th anniversary of the very first nude scene in a film. It took place in 1915, a little film called Daughter of the Gods. An Australian actress, Annette Kellerman, stripped down naked for the film Daughter of the Gods. Even in 1915, people were using technology just to get chicks naked. Yeah, that's right. Daughter of the Gods was not a big hit, despite the fact that there was the first time an actress appeared nude on the screen. But it did well enough to lead to a chain of sequels, including Cheerleaders of the Gods, Stewardesses of the Gods, Nasty Nurses of the Gods, Behind the Pearly Door, and Debbie Does Damascus. I'm kidding. None of those are real. Donald Trump is suing Univision and NBC with a $500 million lawsuit because they refused to air the Miss USA pageant. Here's the thing. You may remember they decided to cut ties with Donald Trump because he's a blowhard and said some awful, inflammatory, and just plain untrue things about Mexican-Americans. So they fired him. You're fired. And he doesn't like it. He says that they're suppressing his rights to free speech. Hey, guy running for the presidency, one thing you should know about the First Amendment is that it doesn't apply just to regular dudes. The First Amendment means the government can't keep you from speaking your mind. But if you speak your mind and you're an asshole, another company has every right in the world to cut business ties with you. So it's really not a free speech issue at all. You might want to bone up on the Constitution before you run for president, the Donald.
This is why you fail.
This is why you fail. So I can't see that lawsuit going anywhere, but I don't know what the contract looks like. We'll have to wait and see. And while we're talking about NBC, nice news for Lester Holt. The official anchor of the NBC Nightly News took over, of course, for that liar, Brian Williams. Lester's doing very well in the ratings. He pulled in more viewers in the coveted 25 to 54 age group than ABC's World News Tonight and CBS's Evening News. So congratulations, Lester Holt. I hope I wish you much success and that someday you have an upper lip. Today's celebrity birthdays. All these stars were born on today, July 1st. Liv Tyler, 38 years old today. Rapper Missy Elliott turns 44. Pamela Anderson is 47 years old. Dan Aykroyd, one of my all-time heroes from his days on SNL all the way up through Ghostbusters and beyond, 63 years old today. And singer Deborah Harry is 70. We gotta rock out a little Blondie at some point today. What do you say, Chip?
I'll get some of that.
Get me a little Blondie so we can celebrate Deborah Harry's birthday. And maybe Rodney will stop by and wish her happy birthday, too, because I know they're good friends. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the Showbiz Beat.
Give a little of that theme song that we love so much.
Orange is the New Black just returned for season number 3 on Netflix last Friday. Alan McKay, is it true you have already seen all of season 3?
Listen, I didn't plan on it. I watched episode 1.
it hit me right in the gut, and then I thought, there is no stopping me. And it's a sickness. Like, it's a problem. But my God.
It's quite a show. It's the one that put Netflix on the map, and we could not be more excited to welcome one of the very fine actresses from the program. Yael Stone joins us in studio right now. She is Laura Morello. Hi, Yael. How are you?
I'm great. Thanks so much.
Such a pleasure to have you on. We've had a couple of your colleagues in over the past couple of seasons, but it's always fun to get a chance to meet another one of the inmates. So, first of all, we apologize for the fact that you had to talk to Dave, our producer, for the last 20 minutes of the office. Did he just pepper you with questions about Australia?
He is a really fantastic human being. He has a keen interest in wombats.
Keen might be an understatement. It's troubling.
Well, you know what I realize? He kind of looks a little like a wombat. But I mean that with the greatest love. You know, I think they're a very cute animal, so I say that as a compliment.
He's our little wombat.
Yeah, I think you should rename him.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah. I like it. Is it annoying for you that so many people want to talk to you about Australia? Because most Americans have not been to Australia, but it's a country that we're fascinated with, and we've seen it portrayed so often in film and in movies. I feel like we always have a lot of questions about it. Does it bug you that people always want to bring it up?
No, it's nice to talk about home. You know what it is? It's just so far away. That's the thing.
Yeah.
Totally. It's so, for a lot of people, I think it becomes like a dreamland place because they're like, one day, one sweet day, I'll go to Australia because it is so far away.
And yeah, because it's not the type of place you go for even a week's vacation because it takes so long to get there. You want to wait until you have the time to properly enjoy it. You know, it's like the size of America, right?
Exactly. It is huge. It is huge. And I think it's one of those things that you have to like, you know, commit to. You have to go backpacking for 3 months to really get your feet dirty.
So you were acting back home and had a little bit of a career going. Was the plan always to try to get to Hollywood, or was there a time where you thought, wow, there's a lot of opportunities in movies and television in Australia, I'll just live here and be an actress here?
I had a really wonderful and very fulfilling time in Australia. I was very, very lucky and had a very rich experience both in theatre and in television, but really grounded a lot in my theatre experience. And it was that experience that took me to New York, which is where I now live and where we make the show. So I was kind of brought over with the production, Diary of a Madman, and it was myself and Jeffrey Rush, and we had a wonderful season at BAM in Brooklyn in New York. And it was kind of, I don't know, it was the middle of winter. I landed in this strange place, and I was suddenly working in this amazing town to these amazing audiences with this amazing man. And I thought, wow, this is scary. This is really scaring me, and that's what I was looking for, actually, at that point.
It's scaring you in a good way. Like this.
In a great way, yeah.
I don't know what to expect, but I like that.
Exactly.
How soon after that were you offered Orange is the New Black?
I made some decisions, some big decisions about leaving home, which was really scary for me, to be honest, like really cutting a lot of professional ties and kind of wandering out into the world of waitressing. And it was 4 months. It was 4 months from arriving. And yeah,
that's a rocket ship, though, to get on a show like this.
I was lucky. I do have my fingers constantly crossed. I really felt very lucky. And it's been a crazy
I understand why you said yes. Yes, because you read that first script and thought this is wonderful work, but you must be, and I imagine many of your colleagues are shocked at how big and how popular the show is. I mean, it is a massive, massive hit. No one predicted that at the outset, right?
Yeah, I mean, also, you have to remember that we were making this Netflix show, which was kind of like, oh, well, I hope people, you know, enjoy this internet streaming program. So I think we felt like we knew we were having a lot of fun. Mm-hmm. That was very clear. We were having a lot of fun. We knew it was special because all you needed to do was walk on set, look around, and look at the incredible diversity in the cast. Look at how many women were on set, in front of the camera, behind the camera, in the writer's room, creating the show. I mean, it was very clear we were doing something unusual. So there was no question about that. I think there's always that unknown factor of, is this going to touch people? Is this going to connect?
And the fact that it was Netflix 3 years ago or however many years
Netflix
it's been.
Netflix owes you. Let's be honest. Let's just put it out there right now. You made Netflix.
No comment.
So I'll say
how long after the series debuted season one did you start to realize the impact?
I was with Uzo, who plays Crazy Eyes slash Suzanne. We don't like to call her Crazy Eyes too often. And we were walking down the street just after season one had dropped. And it became very clear from walking down the street.
The people were yelling and responding. And
just that there was a real connection. People were coming up and saying hello a lot. And that was really wild. That was a very strange feeling because, as I said, we were having such a beautiful time. It felt so private. You know, we were kind of just, you know, having fun playing together, creating these wonderful characters and having a great time. And then that next step of, oh, other people are enjoying
people
this.
Are actually responding to this.
Yeah, people like our crazy stuff. Now, in
yes, go ahead, Ali. Sorry.
In terms of you, I'm looking at you. You're a tiny woman. You don't have the red lipstick on, and you have an Australian accent.
It's true. All these things are true.
All those things are true. Can you get by with people not giving you the double take? Because if I walk past you, I'd say, oh, she's adorable. I wouldn't say, oh, my God, it's Morello. It wouldn't hit me right away.
No, I think I have been able to maintain a little kind of secrecy about that. But there is there are a lot of fans out there that have keen eyes, I gotta say.
Oh, yeah.
I'm always very impressed. And I do get that funny moment on the train where people, because I, you know, I'm in New York, I catch the train all the time, where people will do that double take and I'll be like, oh. Oh, they got
there
me.
It is. There it is.
There it is.
They're like, hey, congratulations, you got out of prison. That's so nice.
Yes. There has been that as well, you know, that kind of sense of, you know, establishing that you're not the character. Because I think, you know, with Netflix, we take our computers or whatever it is into bed and we watch six episodes in a row. And so you start to feel, I mean, it happens to me too, and I'm work on the show.
Right.
Like, I feel this very personal connection with the characters. So people, when they do approach you on the street, there is a sense of like, what are you doing outside of the prison?
Yeah.
How's
Christopher? You're out of context for them. Well, we're talking to actress Yael Stone from Orange is the New Black, which is all three seasons are streaming on Netflix right now, by the way. It's such a beautiful show. It's such a funny show. It's such a dramatic show. There's never been a program that I can think of that has had more different, phenomenally fully fleshed out female characters either, by the way. I mean, that's one of the things that's just remarkable about it. We have so many more questions about your time in prison, Yael, when we return right after this on K-Rock. Actress Yael Stone in studio with us here on The Kevin and Bean Show. She, an actress from Orange is the New Black on Netflix. She plays Lorna Morello. Tell us about Lorna. What have you learned about her over the past three seasons, Yael?
She's a sweet girl. She's got some secrets. I'm very protective of her. I feel I have never felt so affectionate towards a character as I do towards Lorna. I'm very invested in her growth. I think she's on a good path, but she's had some rocky moments. I do think she has been very alone in the world. I think she's kind of not grown up with a lot of love and a lot of support, so she's had to kind of invent a lot of fantasy to support herself. And, you know, I think a lot of us do that. I think that's
Do you think she's mentally ill?
I do. I think that at her time of stalking, that's certainly what was going on. I think she kind of descended into a place that was not healthy. Certainly not healthy. I mean, she's threatening people's lives.
Yeah, tell me about playing this character who most of that stuff you would watch and go, okay, that person's a bad person, but you're loved. Oh. That's a strange reaction.
Well, that's a very kind thing for you to say, and I do feel that. I feel a lot of compassion for the character, and across the board, I feel a lot of compassion for the characters. I mean, people just adore these women, and I think that that is a testament to Genji's incredible writing and her team of writers, because what they've allowed us to do is meet these women as people first and foremost, see the intricacies of who they are, see where they've come from, and then we learn about their crimes, then we learn more about what landed them in prison. So there is a sense of like, well, this led to this, led to this, you know, and Genji also acknowledges a kind of larger socio-political world at play. You know, we get to see where people come from and why they make the decisions they make. And I think that allows us to have a lot of compassion for these women and you know, for not just the inmates, for the guards as well, who've done some pretty questionable things too.
And the timing of the backstories, the way that she weaves those in and out, right when you start kind of not rooting for one in particular,
you see the backstory and you're like, oh, everything makes sense.
Yeah.
And it's this whole new dynamic with the show. It's just so brilliantly done. Mm. And your backstory that people would know from previous seasons, if you will.
Sure.
It plays so much into this season where essentially you're just looking for love and you're looking for that connection, not only through the other women there, but through pen pals, if you will.
Mm-hmm.
Tell me a little bit about that.
If you haven't seen the current season or the last season, don't listen to this. Yeah.
Okay, I'll be back in a minute, you guys.
See ya. So Lorna does ache for somebody. She mm-hmm. wants to, I think she needs to kind of feel validated with love and affection before she can sort of move on. And she wouldn't be alone in that. So she is always kind of reaching out. Sometimes she reaches in the wrong direction. And I think we've seen that in the last season, certainly with her obsession, her really incredible obsession with Christopher. And you know, she sometimes bypasses the things that are really valuable. So perhaps someone like Nikki is someone you actually want to draw in closer into your life. You know, she gets distracted by the shiny things. and in season three, I think, you know, I haven't seen it myself, but not yet. I'm going
just
really
ask
slow.
Me anything. Ask me anything.
But she is, you know, she's reaching out and she's trying to find a solution. Mm-hmm. And like a lot of us, it feels like groping in the dark, you know, and sometimes she gets it wrong, sometimes she gets it right. She's sort of constantly improvising with life. Nothing's certain.
Well, we have a clip from season three of the Netflix series Orange is the New Black. Allie, you want to set this up? I think this is Lorna talking to one of her pen pals, right?
Yeah, she's been reaching out, trying to get some love back, and then they visit her, and she keeps telling the same story, but switching it up to accommodate whatever they like. Do they like birds? Great. So does she. Do they like anime? Wonderful. This guy digs guns. And shockingly, so does she.
And that is how I pull off the biggest jewel heist in Chandler, Arizona.
I gotta say, you are the cutest gunslinger I've ever met.
Thank you so much. And I do love guns. The old ones. And the newer ones.
I'm saving up for a 1962 Remington 700. That's the year that came out. Push feed action, 3.2 millisecond lock time.
Oh, just hearing you talk about that makes me want to go out and shoot something. Oh,
that I think I'm actually blushing. Is that happening?
So good.
That's so cool. Hey, how much have you heard, Yael, from, if at all, from people who have either been in prison or had family members in prison about how realistic this show is?
I have, over the years of working on the show, luckily had more and more contact with people who have come out of prison and, you know, and reached out. And I have to say that is the most moving part of this kind of fan response, because there is a real sense of people saying thank you, and a sense that we are authentically representing that world. And of course, you know, this is entertainment and we stretch things in certain directions, but there really is a sense of people saying thank you. And, you know, anything that brings this conversation about this particular system to the forefront is a wonderful thing. And I know that, you know, as I interact with people from the WPA, the Women's Prison Association, Liberation Prison Yoga, which brings yoga into prisons for inmates, I've had more and more contact with people who need their stories to be told, and we need to have a greater discussion about this. You know, as an outsider, obviously I come from Australia, and you know, we share some similar difficulties in terms of a prison situation. And I, you know, the US has one of the largest prison populations in the world. Mm-hmm. So the fact that we can kind of bring this conversation onto the table by way of entertainment, I think is a really wonderful and valuable thing. We had a fan event in New York last week, OrangeCon, and I was lucky to be sitting next to Piper Kerman, who wrote the memoir, which Orange is based on. Mm-hmm. And that's her life, you know.
Yeah.
And somebody in the audience said, Piper, you know, all of this wonderful stuff has come from you being sent to prison. You know, if you could go back and change a thing, would you? And I think the person who asked that question expected her to say, no, I wouldn't change a thing. And without skipping a beat, Piper said, of course I would. Of course I would change this. You know, I put my family through hell. It was a terrible, terrible experience. The shame, the guilt, the difficulties that most people who emerge from a prison or jail experience come out with is just truly crippling for their life. So I think the more that we can kind of talk about this, the more that we can interact directly with people who've had that experience, maybe there's a little change possible. Maybe if it's just a greater awareness, a greater sensitivity, a greater compassion, I'm thrilled.
Well, as Ali said earlier, with the backstories we're getting to learn about the people, is you remind us that prisoners are human beings too, and they've had difficult journeys.
Yeah.
Sometimes, and they're not just numbers, and they're not just, you can't just put them over there and go, hey, they're just bad people, and I don't care about them. And you're right. That's one beautiful thing that this show has been responsible for getting back into the conversation. I wish we had more time. I can't believe we have to say goodbye already. But man, congratulations on all the great work you and all the ladies are doing, and the men that work on the program as well. There are a few of them.
Yeah. There's a few, and they are delightful. They're wonderful men. Thank you so much for having me.
No, it's been really, really fun. And there'll be more. Have we heard news? There will be more seasons.
They've actually started. I'm going to rush back to New York at the end of this week.
No kidding.
Yeah, they've begun shooting season 4, and I think it's going to be amazing.
Well, I speak for other binge watchers. Hurry up. Thank you.
Let's get to that.
Good morning, boys and girls. You are listening to the world-famous K-Rock, 106.7 KROQ-FM. It's the best of Kevin and Bean, but plenty of live stuff, too. I'll be doing Showbiz Beat all day long, and we've got comedian Brad Williams is going to stop by in a little bit. But first and foremost, since this is the kickoff of the long holiday weekend, this is when a lot of movie companies are releasing their new films, so we thought we'd take a look at them all with the Movie Beat.
In a world, someone has been watching. One man who risked everything.
I'm sorry, I have not seen any of your films.
Without seeing the movies. Ralph Garman's Movie Beat.
Welcome to my world.
Three new movies coming out this weekend. One's a teeny tiny, little tiny, independent, little tiny, teeny, teeny, teeny movie. And the other two are big movies. Especially Magic Mike XXL. Really big. Let's take a look first at a small film called Jackie and Ryan. It's directed by a woman named Amy Kanan Mann. And it seems to be an interesting little small story about a musician who's basically a hobo, just hopping from train to train, trying to be a success, who runs across a single mom who's battling to maintain custody of her daughter while going through a brutal, ugly divorce. Circumstances bring them together, and a relationship develops that, as you can imagine, changes their lives and teaches them a lot about life and love, quite frankly. Katherine Heigl stars in this film, and I was shocked as I looked at the trailer for the film that it actually looks good. She's in a movie that's actually good for a change. Ben Barnes is the male lead. You may remember him as Caspian X in the Chronicles of Narnia films. Prince Caspian in the Voyage of the Dawn Treader. He looks great and sings great in this. There's a lot of original music in it. It sounds really cool. It's kind of like if you remember the movie Once, a lot of cool, sort of interesting folk kind of music in it. Here's a little bit of the trailer from the movie called Jackie and Ryan.
My husband just told me that if I don't stop divorce proceedings, he's going to sue for full custody of Leah.
How long are you going to stay?
Hard to say.
No, it isn't.
Somewhere far away.
He's not going to take it from
me. He's got this attorney already. I can't.
He's not going to take it from me.
There must be some terrible place where I just can't see you.
So if you've got Blockbuster Overdose, this may be the small little interpersonal film that you may want to check out. In theaters everywhere, however, two big major studio releases this weekend, starting with Magic Mike XXL, baby. Woo! That's right. Work it. Channing Tatum returns with the story of Mike and his pals and their abs. Matt Bomer, of course. Who's the guy from True Blood? Mike Joe Manganiello. He's in it. Elizabeth Banks is in it. Amber Heard is in it. 3 years after Mike bowed out of the stripper life at the top of his game, he and his team get back together again for the big stripper off in Myrtle Beach. One last blowout performance. Yeah, blowing out, baby. The Kings of Tampa are back. I never really saw the first Magic Mike, but I can imagine there are people out there who loved it because they made another one. And it looks like a lot of abs and pecs and
penis.
And thrusting and nether regions and what's that bone there that holds the package? You know, the pelvis, that's it. A lot of thrusting pelvises. But it looks like it's a story of brotherhood, too, about these men coming together and bonding as they travel across country in a food truck to get to Myrtle Beach to go to the big strip show that they have there in Myrtle Beach. Here's a scene from Magic Mike XXL where Channing Tatum, as the leader of the team, has to get the guys psyched up before they get out there on stage and make them rise to the occasion, if you will. Here's a little clip from Magic Mike XXL.
Look, I love you guys. This trip has been ridiculous and amazing. So please do not make me give the whole, it's not about how we go out there and do it. It's about getting to go out there and do it together speech that I just gave you.
What are you? You're not a fireman.
It's not bro time, it's show time. Are you guys ready?
Yeah, ready.
All right, come on, let's do this.
All right, ready? 1, 2, 3.
Male entertainers. Male entertainers. It's about the brotherhood of male entertainers. That's what that film's about. And I'm glad to see Fish Mooney stop by, too. She's in the film as well. Jada Pinkett said, it's not bro time. It's show time. So, ladies, gird your loins. Bring your battery-operated boyfriends and just go check out Magic Mike XXL. Leave your men behind because these are real men up on the screen. And lastly, Terminator. Yeah, the Terminator Genesis is back. Terminator's returning with a whole nother film of Terminator. It is the return of the Terminator franchise. Well, it's kind of a reboot, a fresh take, if you will, on the first Terminator film. It's the same basic story. John Connor sends his best friend Kyle Reese back in time to protect his mother, Sarah Connor, because Skynet is going to kill her so that John Connor is never born so that he can't lead the resistance forces against their cyborgs. You're familiar with the story. But in this particular version, when Kyle gets sent back to 1984, nothing is as he expected to be. Everything is different. First of all, everybody looks different. Doesn't look like Linda Hamilton anymore. It's a brand new lady playing her, Emilia Clarke. Jason Clarke also stars in this. Schwarzenegger returns as well. In this film, though, apparently this is another timeline based on that same original story. And instead of being sort of a meek and mild waitress, Sarah Connor is an ass-kicking resistance fighter herself. And she's been raised and protected by an elderly Terminator.
Who could be playing that character, the old Terminator?
Well, the Skynet sends back a T-800, a new young Terminator. I wonder who could play that.
I'm also playing the young Terminator.
And that means we get to see Arnold on Arnold violence. We get to see Arnold on Arnold crime. Like in this scene where, of course, the T-800 shows up naked to the world and demands clothes from some hoodlums. But before he can get his clothes on, old Terminator's there to kick some major cyborg ass. Here's a clip from the movie.
Nice night for a walk, eh?
Nice night for a walk.
Wash day tomorrow. Nothing clean, right?
Nothing clean, right.
Hey, I think this guy's a couple cans short of a six-pack.
Your clothes. Give them to me. Now.
You won't be needing any clothes. I've been waiting for you.
Ah, I've been waiting for you. You're so beautiful. I love how I look when I was young and naked.
And then the two of them make love on the screen. It's crazy. It's not what you expect at all in this film. It's Arnold on Arnold sex. I kid you. Terminator Genesis, by all accounts, is basically just another Terminator film. But if you're a fan of the originals like I am, and you want to get out of the heat and the humidity and grab some popcorn and just see a big summer blockbuster movie, Terminator Genesis might be the movie for you. For Magic Mike, of course, that's for the ladies and some of you fellas out there. That's also on screens everywhere. And if you're looking for a tiny little film that you want to disappear into, Jackie and Ryan, also available in limited release this weekend. Those are your films to choose from. I'm Ralph Garman, and I walk the movie beat.
all that you know is at an end.
That was Ralph Garman. Ralph Garman. Movie Beat.
106.7 K-Rock is KROQ. You are listening to Me and Joe. It is 20 minutes till 9.
Hey, real quick, let me open up the phones at 1-800-520-1067. We are giving away some tickets to IndyCar, AutoClubSpeedway.com. If you want to buy tickets, coming up in a couple of weekends, June 26th and 27th at the Auto Club Speedway. If you love the see car go fast, call right now, 1-800-520-1067. Call or tweet. You win. Ralph, I'm glad you're back in here. What? Yesterday, you almost had a nervous breakdown when you heard this Kim Kardashian letter to her future self. You want to bring kids up to speed on that?
Glamour magazine stupidly asked Kim Kardashian to do something other than pose for a picture. They did this little video bit where she had to write a letter to her future self in the year 2025, 10 years into the future. And I think what they were shooting for was maybe some introspection on her part, some reflection on what her life is now and what she hopes it will be. Stupidly, however, she started to ask herself questions in the future as if she was going to get some kind of answer. Is On Fleek still going to be a thing she needed to know? Will we still be taking selfies? She exposed her inanity, her stupidity, by asking her future self questions. And I said, how dumb can a woman be?
Here's a little bit of that.
Are you still filming Keeping Up with the Kardashians? Are you still decorating our dream home? Are selfies still a thing? Are the terms bae and on fleek so 2015? If not, am I still on fleek?
Yeah.
Oh, my Lord. By the way, if it takes you 10 years to decorate your dream home, you need a better designer. You need to go by Bed Bath & Beyond, just pick some stuff up and just put it out around the house.
Doesn't seem that difficult.
Yeah, right.
What a colossal waste of time that whole exercise is on somebody like Kim Kardashian. As you said, it completely misses the point of what it's about, right?
Right.
And completely.
So we here at the Kevin DeMeade Show asked Bean and Kevin to write letters to themselves in the future.
Oh, you did?
In the year 2025. And I think they also perhaps missed the point of the exercise because Bean and Kevin have both their audio letters to the future. And I think maybe they also failed. Let's listen to Bean's letter first.
Dear Bean in the year 2025. 2025. Do people still listen to Zagger and Evans in the year 2025? Because, you see, they had a song called the year 2025. Is this thing on? There's so many hopes I have for the future. Have they found a way to make chocolate milk colder? I can imagine you, future Bean, are in the best of health, because you're the healthiest man in the world.
Uh-oh.
I'm okay. I wonder if you're having sex with robots right now. If so, give her one for me. Daddy Likey.
Oh.
But I have to tell you, future Bean, I'm concerned. Is the post office still operating in 2025? It's still the best value to put a stamp on a letter and get it put anywhere in the United States. If they did try to disband it, I hope you put up a good fight. Unless you're Jar. In that case, lucky you. I just hope you don't forget where you come from, future Bean. So let me remind you with this one piece of advice. Don't make any more Periscope videos of ferry trips. No one seems to enjoy it. Love, Bean from now.
I think Bean farted in my mind. That was like a fart sound while he was writing that letter.
It's weird.
That's weird.
How dare you?
So then we asked Kevin to write a letter to himself 10 years in the future, the year 2025.
And I'm pretty sure I understood it a little better than Bean.
It's a remarkable letter.
Dear me, in future 2025, you are living 9 years in the future. I hope soccer is still going on. Do they have a way now to not make ending 0-0? I also hope you're living in a world where every movie is just loud and no more people start talk about people's things. Also, maybe in the future you live in, future Kevin, the words are not important, so people don't need you for saying things, worry. I want to give you advice on how to remember to be who you are now. Back then, and now where I am now. But I realize you hate old things and you won't care what I think because I will be living in old times. So just get in your rocket-powered party bus and go to Las Space Vegas. Woo! Poker! love me old Kevin, who you don't like because I'm old. But you're older than me, so I don't like you either. Stupid, dumb, absurd.
Yeah, I think maybe you guys maybe
missed the mark.
Maybe take another shot at that.
You are listening to the Kevin and Bean Show on the world-famous K-Rock 106.7 KROQ-FM. It's the best Kevin and Bean. The boys are on vacation for a couple of days. We'll be back with all new live shows right after the 4th of July weekend. But in the meantime, I'm still here bringing you the showbiz beat. Let's take a look at some of the big stories. No surprise, really, yesterday when it was announced that Ben Affleck and Jennifer Garner are splitting up. This had been talked about in the trades and tabloids for some time now. Sounded like there was trouble in paradise, and they released a statement yesterday to Us Weekly magazine saying, after much thought and careful consideration, we have made the difficult decision to divorce. We're going to go forward with love and friendship for one another. Oh, I bet they're going to be the best of friends. They do have 100 kids to raise together, so that'll keep them talking at least for a couple years. This information came one day after their 10th wedding anniversary. The couple met on the set of Pearl Harbor back in 2001. They should have known their love was doomed at that point. That movie is just unwatchable. Speaking of disasters, I don't know if you've seen the video yet, but an Egyptian TV show pulled a very unfunny practical joke on poor Paris Hilton. I don't know if you've seen the footage, but they put her up in a small commuter plane, and then the Egyptian TV host talks the pilot into pretending like the plane is about to crash. He cuts the engines and the aircraft just starts to dive to the ground. It's terrifying. It's a horrible, horrible joke. And listen, I'm no Paris Hilton fan. Don't get me wrong. I would not bemoan bad things happening to her in terms of her career and her absence from the public eye. I'd be all for that. But it was just mean and cruel. And if someone did it to me, I would also be ticked off. She apparently is planning on suing whoever is responsible, because that's the go-to position. She's been telling friends that she freaked out, and you can see in the video that she's terrified. It's just not funny. It was just mean-spirited. So as soon as she finds out who's responsible, she's going to sue somebody. She's just probably just throwing lawsuits into the air, hoping one of them sticks. While we're talking about rich people who have a sense of entitlement, Floyd Mayweather caused a bit of commotion the other day. He made a little mini parade of his own last Friday night on Hollywood Boulevard while driving his Bugatti around with his friends and other expensive rides. At one point, the champ even parked the car in the middle of the boulevard and stood up inside of it, which surprisingly didn't impress local PD. They frown on that sort of behavior. According to TMZ.com, he was told to move it or the car would be impounded with a hefty fee. And his response was, it's not like I can't afford it. See, it's people like him that make you hate rich people. And he is rich. As we mentioned earlier in the week, he pulled in $300 million in income in the past year. So it's true. It's sad but true. He can't afford it. Geek news. The next Star Trek film title has been announced. It will be called Star Trek Beyond. This according to Justin Lin, the Fast and Furious 6 director, who tweeted the new title along with a sneak peek at the new Starfleet uniform. It's the third film in the rebooted series, which stars Chris Pine and Zachary Quinto, Zoe Saldana. Idris Elba also stars. The film will be in theaters 1 year from now, July the 8th in 2016. Big Independence Day weekend release. While we're talking about new films, very excited by the Creed trailer, which dropped yesterday. I don't know if you saw it online. You can see it on YouTube, and a lot of the news websites are carrying it. I was completely mistaken about this film when I first heard about it. I thought it was another Sylvester Stallone vanity project where he was trying to reboot the character of Rocky one more time. But it turns out, although Rocky is featured in the film, the story is about the son of Apollo Creed, Adonis Creed, played by Michael B. Jordan of Fruitvale Station fame. And this film, in fact, was written and is directed by Ryan Coogler, who also directed Fruitvale Station. So I thought Stallone was writing and directing again, but apparently he's just acting in this as Rocky Balboa. And I think it's kind of genius to turn whatever may be left of this franchise over to a fresh pair of eyes, someone with a cool, hip sensibility who can bring a new
feeling to this story, and this does not feel like any Rocky movie you've ever seen before, except for the presence of Rocky. The trailer looks great. It's about this young boxer who is, of course, Apollo Creed's son, trying to make his own way in the fight game, and he enlists the help of his father's old nemesis, Rocky Balboa, to train him and bring him along. Here's a little taste of the first trailer for the movie Creed.
This pitch is from the 10th round of the first fight, right? I heard about a third fight between you and Apollo behind closed doors. Is that true?
How do you know all this?
I'm a son. A great fighter once said, it ain't about how hard you can hit. It's about how hard you can get hit and keep moving forward.
See this guy here? That's the toughest opponent you're ever going to have to face. I believe that's true in the ring, and I think that's true in life. You show me something.
That's right. It's not about how hard you can hit. It's about how hard you can get hit. You keep moving forward.
I'm excited. Looks good. I'm going to check it out. It'll be out soon. Today's celebrity birthdays. All these stars were born on July the 1st. Liv Tyler is 38 years old today. Missy Elliott celebrates her 44th birthday. Pam Anderson is 47.
Pam Anderson?
Dan Aykroyd, the legend. Not only a Blues Brother and alum of SNL, but also a Ghostbuster. What a career this guy's had. 63 years old today. And singer Deborah Harry, best known as the lead singer of the legendary new wave band Blondie. She's 70 years old today. Give me a little taste. Give me a little something. Give me a little something.
Call me.
All right, Blondie. Yeah. I love Blondie. Deborah Harry, she's great. A lot of people think she is Blondie because she's blonde, but she's not. She's just the singer of Blondie, and Blondie's really a band, not even one person. Of course, Blondie was also a cartoon character, but Deborah Harry's not a cartoon character.
Thanks, Roddy. Appreciate it. Thanks for all the input. Hey, I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
By the way, got some great guests coming up on the show in the next few days here on the Kevin and Bean Show, including Reggie Watts, also Jen Kirkman, comedian, is going to be joining us, the smartest man in the world, Greg Proops, on the program, and tomorrow, Jay Moore will be here. So some good stuff coming up. Speaking of celebrities, we're lucky enough in this job that from time to time we get to meet people that we admire, like, you know, being able to hang out with U2 on Thursday night, for instance. It's one of the perks of the job. But I'm being mocked lately for not wanting to meet a celebrity that I'm a fan of.
Yeah.
And I don't know why you guys don't get that. What's happening, Ralph?
He's confused by your statement.
Because you bludgeon us. You beat us to death with your unnatural affection for these people. It's a nonstop barrage of minuscule facts and bios, and they're the greatest person in the world. And you beat us into submission with your just constant barrage of just fanboy disgusting behavior. And then you say, no, I don't want to meet that person.
I would never want to meet Taylor Swift.
You can't have it both ways. You can't do both.
You can. You can be a fan, but you can also be a fan to the point of you don't want to spoil that fandom. You don't want that to bleed over into your real life.
But you can't be a super fan and make your coworkers miserable with your endless
prattle.
I'm not making
anybody miserable.
Yes, you are.
And then not meet that person.
First of all, I barely mentioned Taylor Swift. Second of all. So here's what happened. So Dave and Christine, our producer and assistant producer, are coming up to visit me in a month or two, and we're going to.
That's right, Chip. Did you hear that?
Yeah.
Actual visitors who are allowed to come.
He's going to be tired for them.
We'll see.
And we're all going to hop in the car and head up to Vancouver to see T-Swizzle in concert up there on August 1st. And so Christine's, you know, she's got the hookup. So she's like, hey, let's meet Taylor. We can arrange it so that we can do, you know, the backstage thing. You guys can, you know, meet Taylor Swift, get your picture taken. And I'm like, no, I do not, will not, cannot,
what?
Should not, won't.
Why don't you want to meet her? I mean, is there something about her that you think she can't live up to? Or
no, I don't. I've thought about this.
Is it the court order?
It's not. That's not enforceable in
Canada. That's why he's going to Canada.
Yeah, it's fine. I'm not allowed to see you in America. But I don't know. I'm having trouble explaining it. It's just that I think I would be too nervous, and I think I would embarrass myself somehow. Not that she would know or care. Not that it would make a blip on her radar. But I just – I don't want – I feel like I would blow it. I feel like there's no way that
you,
I
you would
could,
blow it because – what do you think might happen
right,
if you don't
you
blow?
I don't all you just, do is say hello and shake her hand and take a picture.
I know. I know.
How bad can you F that up?
I know. I know that it kind of doesn't make any sense, but I just feel like I would rather not go through that in case I somehow screw it up. Or in case, I don't know, I just feel like it's
but what celebrity are you serious about this, though? Not Taylor Swift, for God's sake.
It is Taylor Swift. But, I mean, I'm envisioning what that backstage situation would be like, and I just feel like it would be awkward, and we'd
Why
all be in
awkward?
Like a...
awkward? You say hello.
Because he's been.
It's a great show tonight, Taylor. Nice to meet you. And they take a picture, and you move on.
I know, but it just, it doesn't...
You apparently don't know. You keep saying, I know, but you don't know.
Look,
your damage is endless.
That's true. It's very true.
But hasn't there – look, Ralph, you, like me, are enamored of certain people that you admire, like the Monty Python guys, for instance, or somebody you flew across the globe to go see. If you
yes.
had the opportunity to meet the Monty Python guys, would you have done that?
In a heartbeat.
Okay, that's not a good example.
No, it's not.
No, because, see, Ralph doesn't have unrealistic ideas of what might come of that. He's just going to say, hi, and I like your work. That's it.
Maybe
I
get a picture. That'd be great.
There's nothing to blow, Bean.
Right.
You have an opportunity with her.
Nothing could be easier to do than you go backstage and meet someone.
I don't feel like I have unrealistic opportunities. I feel like I know exactly what it's going to be, and I feel like somehow I would still screw that up. I'm worried. It's me. It's me. It's not her.
What is wrong with you?
Are you going to push her into a punch bowl or something? What Cousin Balky event do you think is going to happen backstage?
I've got it. All right. Your next Bean.
All right. Let me throw this out. By the way, I'm fine.
Taylor, I just want to. Oh, you fell in the cake. Oh, no. What are Laverne and Shirley going to do next?
Oh, I'm sorry, Taylor.
Laverne and Shirley met the monkeys.
All right, we're going to take some calls. If there's ever been somebody that you admire so much that you've had the opportunity to meet them and decided not to or decided you didn't want to. But let me throw this out, Ralph, because I think I've got some evidence against you here, sir. I want to bring up a name of a woman named Shirley Manson.
Yes.
That you would not come in the room to say hello to because you loved her too much.
That was...
True or false?
Well, it's because I didn't want to be a bother. It wasn't like, oh, we're going to take you backstage and do a meet and greet introduction.
Which
thing.
Is exactly what that's for, is to meet and greet.
That's what it's for. Right. I will not go out of my way to impinge on someone's time if they're working or if they're at a restaurant or if they're in a social situation. I don't like to horn my way in. I feel that is sort of that makes me uncomfortable doing that.
But wasn't
that to
this
someone.
At the Acoustic Christmas show or something that we yeah. had, Shirley, and you had the opportunity to meet her?
No,
at an event?
You guys were doing an interview situation. I wasn't going to tag along while she was doing an interview and then try to monopolize some of her time. But when Lisa Warden pulled me over and said, "This is Shirley," and introduced me, I met her then.
You did meet her?
Yes.
You didn't?
No, I didn't. All right, Laverne and Shirley swing from the chandelier and accidentally knock her out a window or anything. No,
all right.
I just said, hello, nice to meet you. I'm a big fan. That's what
All
I
right,
said.
So I can't go to you. Kevin, is there anyone that you have loved too much to meet?
No. I mean, maybe you're unhappy with the way it went. When I met Magic Johnson, for example, it all went, I was terrible, but who cares? He didn't remember that 30 seconds after it happened.
Okay.
Remember, you gave him AIDS.
That was a bad that's
meeting.
Not what
I remember
happened.
That. No. I remember that. I remember
I
you
just
did that.
Said the words that I believe I'm quoting myself here. Hey, you're great. I think that's what I said, and he said, thank you very much. He's gracious, and he moved on, and I hated myself, but it was fine.
It
he
was
forgot
a fail
about.
On your part, but yeah. It wasn't that bad.
Right, right.
Still, to say you're great is a compliment. You could have said,
Allie.
You suck. That would have been worse if you said that.
You're just going to go keep going person to person, aren't you?
Until I find somebody who's just like me.
Hey, let's go to She-Bean.
I can't be the only one in the world who feels this way.
But you're not, because...
Oh, has this happened to you?
Yeah, it has, and I'm embarrassed to say it now.
Who was it?
Conan O'Brien. I had 3 occasions to meet him, and I said no every single time.
Because
I don't want it to ruin what we have.
Okay, go with that. Let me hear more of that.
Oh, that's enough for me.
I've loved Conan since the mid-90s, been a huge Conan O'Brien fan.
Right.
I had the opportunity for my birthday to meet him.
And how would that have changed what you have?
Because it would change things. What if it was awkward or weird and then,
you're just saying hi.
No, it would be so much more.
Were you uncomfortable meeting someone paler than you?
That part of it?
The only person. Did you want to keep holding on to the title? You didn't want to give up the belt?
I didn't want to give up my sash.
Yeah, I don't blame you.
It looks good. But I get it. You have these expectations.
You don't have anything with him, though.
I do in my head.
No, but you don't,
it's
though.
It's real good what you we
need,
have.
You
real
need
good.
Counseling. You both need counseling.
How dare you?
I think Allie is on to something here. I really do.
Because
she's the first person to
support you. She's on to mental illness.
No, because she has articulated it in a way that I didn't think of, which is, and let me go with this for 1 second. I feel, and maybe this is the same way you feel about Conan, is I have a relationship as a fan to Taylor Swift's music. I love her music, and it speaks to me, and it's meaningful, and I enjoy it so much. And I feel like
meaningful.
It is, and because I am a 15-year-old girl, as you know. So I feel like that would be ruined somehow if now she wasn't just a person who writes and sings music. Now she's an actual real person that I'm in a room with. It upsets the balance of that relationship that like Allie is talking about.
Because you don't know if she's real or not.
No, I know.
You think she might be a fairy princess.
You
no,
and she mean are magical crazy.
If you see her and she turns out to be a real person, then all bets are off.
No,
now I understand completely, you crazy person.
I know she's a real person, but it's kind of like you watch a movie and it ruins it for you if you see how the trick was done or the special effects were made. And all of a sudden, it's not you're taken out of the magic of the film.
Like,
that's
what if
I
shook Conan's hand and it was like a limp handshake and then, oh, I watch him and now he's limp handshake guy. That's sad.
Allie's making an insane amount of good sense right now.
Right, Bean?
All right.
You, just said you two should be on an island.
That's correct. 1-800-520-1067. Who's the star that you were too afraid to meet, even though you love that person? We'll take your calls next on K-Rock. Hey, welcome to the Kevin and Bean Show. We're taking your calls at 1-800-520-1067. There's a celebrity that you love, but you don't want to meet that person for whatever reason. That's what we're talking about. It happened to Allie McKay with Conan O'Brien. She's had three different chances to meet him. I had the opportunity to meet Taylor Swift, but I won't do it because I don't want to spoil what we have, Kevin. You get that, right?
And this is your second time, by the way, that you're rejecting the Taylor
That's
Swift meeting.
Right.
That is true.
I forgot about the first time.
It was all set up for you. It was set up. It was a go. It was green light.
They offered it. They offered it to me, and I declined. I said I don't want to do it. So, yeah, this is the second opportunity I'm going to
have. No, you're worried you're going to fail. You failed already now twice, and Allie's failed three times in life.
I don't know if I failed.
Fail.
No.
Love Conan O'Brien. You could have met him three times, and all three times you failed.
What if I let him down?
You couldn't because he expects nothing
you.
From you.
What if
you
I
don't
say something,
exist.
What if I say something so dumb, and then every time I watch him, like, remember that time, Allie? And then you're, like, sad. And
then you hear,
this is why you fail. This is why you fail.
Exactly.
Guys, let's get some support from a couple of our listeners who are calling
in,
shall we? Why don't we start with Aaron in Sherman Oaks? He's on line two. He's got a celebrity in mind that we all agree is awesome. Let's find out what went wrong with him. Hey, Aaron, welcome to the show, sir.
Hey, good morning, guys. What's up?
You tell us.
Who's the celebrity that you didn't want to meet?
All right, so... last Saturday, I was going to Hamburger Hamlet with my mom for dinner. We're walking down the sidewalk to the front door, and I see this dude in front of me with long hair and a flannel T-shirt. And the first thing I think is, wouldn't that be funny if that happened to be Dave Grohl? And we get to where we're waiting for a table. I catch a glimpse from the side. I see the goatee. It was totally Dave Grohl.
Right.
And I'm like, oh, man, what do I do? Because, like, he's like my favorite celebrity.
Right.
I listened to Nirvana growing up as a kid. I love the Foo Fighters.
Right.
We know his body
man.
Of work.
Yes.
Yes.
Yeah, very, very familiar.
Oh, wait, the musician Dave Grohl?
We know what bands he was in. Carry on.
Oh, okay. Yeah, duh. I forgot who I was talking to for a second. So I was totally torn because, first of all, he was with his daughter, and I didn't want to bug him. I didn't want to risk, you know, getting attitude from my favorite celebrity. Because that would just be my luck. Like, if I got cursed out by Dave Grohl, I'd be totally crushed.
Right.
Yeah. So I just...
Okay, but what if there was a situation where it was a setup meet and greet? So he is supposed to meet and greet you.
In other words, you're not invading his... By the way, you did the right thing, Aaron, by not approaching him. You should let the man have a life and be out with his daughter.
Right.
That was not an appropriate time for you to approach him. But Kevin's asking, what if it had been a situation where you were set up like you were at a CD signing or something like that where you could meet him? Would you have done it then?
I would still have been a little nervous. But yeah, I would have kept it to a minimum. I wouldn't have flipped out and be like, oh, my God, Dave Grohl, I love you. You're the man. But I would have been like, you know, hey, what's up? You know, you're awesome.
All right, good.
Okay,
that would have been a memorable moment for Dave, too.
Well, here's the thing. Like, I have a friend who worships Dave Grohl as well. Took the opportunity to meet him. And you know what? In real life, just as great as you think he'd be. She wouldn't have known that if she was Allie or Bean going, oh, I don't want to ruin what I have.
And this guy, he did the right thing, like Bean mentioned. You don't interfere with someone if they're having dinner or with their family or their Disneyland or something like that. You don't want to walk up to them and ruin their day. But this is a case where that's what they're doing after the show is meeting people and saying hello.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yep. Dave, tell us who the best call is because we don't have time for all of them. Which one do you want us to go to here?
All right.
Joey Mack.
Good listen.
Joey Mack.
All right, let's go to Joey Mack. This is going to be on, where do we have?
Line one. Three.
Line three, Heather in Orange County. Heather, thank you for calling the Kevin and Beecher. Thanks for holding on. What celebrity? I guess we know now. It's Joey McIntyre from New Kids. What's the story?
Yeah. Oh, I'm so in love with him. And
right.
I had the opportunity to deliver flowers to his home.
Right.
And where he potentially would have answered the door in potentially a towel.
And when you say potentially
a towel,
it's because you didn't deliver them?
I didn't. I stayed in the car, and I didn't do it. I was too afraid that I would embarrass myself and not say the right stuff.
Did he not get the flowers that he was supposed to get?
She said the right stuff.
See what she did there?
Yeah.
But didn't he yell out as you were driving away, please don't go, girl?
Oh, I hope I wish.
Yeah, that didn't happen.
So Joey never got his flowers because you wouldn't get out of the car?
No, someone else did it and told me that, you know, he looked great. But
are you okay or are you hanging tough?
You're with me. You hear it. You feel it.
Yeah, he does, unfortunately.
All right, so
but you're with Bean is more importantly. This
so
position.
What's our,
you do
this,
not want to be
going to make Heather feel better. Joey and I have a mutual friend, and so we were at his bachelor party together. Me and Joey McIntyre and a few other guys and this guy. And we hung out and partied tonight. Greatest guy you'd ever want to meet. That's just a sweetheart of a guy. It would have been a wonderful experience had you had the intestinal fortitude to walk up to his door.
Oh, I'm going to cry.
Yeah, you blew it. You blew it. You failed.
I failed.
Just like being an alley, you fail.
Absolutely.
That is team fail right there.
That's not where you'll be in an alley.
I never feel worse about us, Kevin, than I do when we have a guest like this man in front of us right now. He is a Grammy Award winner, an inductee into the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame. He is an accomplished photographer, author, and now documentarian. The new film is called Can't Stand Losing You, Surviving the Police. He is Andy Summers, and he joins us here on the Kevin and Beecher on K-Rock. Hey, Mr. Summers, how are you, sir?
It's early.
It's early, so sure.
Can I get back to you at about midday about that?
We do apologize for the hour at which our show is on. It's not ideal for most people, especially in your line of work.
I'll try and speak English, yeah.
So you wrote a book that was very successful, your best-selling memoir called One Train Later, and then you couldn't be done with the story then. You said, hey, wait a minute, this has to be a movie. Tell me about that.
Well, it was sort of along those. Well, I don't know. Here's the thing. I had the book. I also had this rather large body of photography, which I shot from like day one practically through the police. And then I saw a film called The Kid Stays in the Picture, which was about the film. The film's about the life of Robert Evans, the Paramount film producer. But the thing is, the film was done with just still photographs and Robert Evans' voiceover. And somewhere in there, it occurred to me that I had the same stuff, the whole book and all the photography. And wouldn't it be nice to do that?
Were you taking photos your whole life? Is it something you're passionate about?
Well, you know, I was probably like up to a certain point, like everyone else, had a camera, took pictures. And then it was really early days of the police in New York, actually. I went, you know what, I'm going to start taking this seriously. And I got a really nice camera. And I started to go for it. It was like, you will do this. But actually, seemed to have a natural aptitude for it and became obsessed with it.
The pictures are stunning, and it actually makes the documentary that much better. But the thing I loved about it
which I didn't know much about, was your whole story leading up to the police, then getting married, and then after the police. So it's really a look at you, and then this band called the police, too.
Yeah. Well, yeah, I mean, the objective of the book was like, okay, I'm this musician, I'm this guitarist, and really the central message in the book is sort of keep the faith. Mm-hmm. Whatever happens, you will be playing this instrument, and it's the one thing that I return to all the time, the guitar. And the first half in the book is my life as a musician and all the ups and downs and the desperate times that go with that, trying to stay alive, until eventually I crack it.
Let's talk about the before the police years, because I don't know how you keep going. You were in band after band. They broke up for whatever reason. I mean, how old were you when you joined the police?
About 30.
30?
Yeah.
And you said that was death for a musician, too.
I thought it was over, yeah. And it was all rather peculiar because I'd been in L.A., I'd been to college, I'd studied guitar. I'd gotten really very internal with music, really, you know, trying to be a very serious musician. The odd thing about the police story is I was back in London, and I was actually doing very well in the guitar ranks of London. I was going quickly. And then I sort of took this absolute left turn and joined an unknown punk band with no future whatsoever.
They weren't the police we know, obviously.
Guess what happened, though?
there are two fascinating stories of the pre-police years that, for me, Andy. Yeah. One was that you, at some point when you stayed in Los Angeles after the Animals broke up and you didn't want to go back to London, you were a guitar teacher. That was what you were doing for a living. And for all you knew, that was what you were going to continue to do for a living for the rest of your life, is just teach people how to play guitar, right?
Well, I don't think I had real ambitions in that direction. I was surviving by doing it very minimally. I was down to about, it was really grim, about $40 a month.
Wow.
I was going to college playing classical guitar, actually, at that period, studying music. The only way I could survive, really, was teaching guitar.
Did you enjoy teaching guitar?
Depends on the student, really. Yeah. If you've got a great student that's really into it and alive and sort of brings something to the table, it's fun.
That's
amazing.
Other than
that, it's not really for me.
And the other thing that came up, and you covered this just very briefly in the movie, and I want to hear more. Was it just a rumor that got to you that the Rolling Stones were considering putting you in the band, or was there at any point actually an audition?
No, there wasn't. We never got to that stage. It was a weird one. It was in the major. It was in the Melody Maker. It was a big thing about, you know, when, who was it who left? Oh, Mick Taylor. And they had to replace him. And so I was put on this shortlist. But
Paper. You saw that in the paper?
Oh, it was in the paper.
I'm up for that job?
Yeah, they put my photograph in front of everybody else's.
So Ron amazing. Wood obviously got the job and is still with the Stones to these days. Do you ever wonder, do you ever think about how you may never have been a part of the police? had the audition gone one step further and you'd gotten the job, you would still be probably with the Rolling Stones today and going out on tour this summer.
That's really it. It's interesting. But I think Destiny had me lined up for another great band. Hello.
Yeah. Well.
And I remember Mick Jagger turning up at, I think it was Hartford, Connecticut, and standing and watching the show and coming to our dressing room. He was very sweet, actually, but he was definitely checking us out.
All right. I have one last question about before the police, and then we'll get into life with the police.
Okay.
And that is, there was a point in time when you were on stage in London, and it was accepted and a cool thing to do for the audience to spit on you.
Yeah.
That is disgusting.
Oh, so disgusting. Yeah, I think, you know, it was definitely going on.
Was it a couple of people?
Everyone.
Everyone was spitting.
No, it was nuts.
That's a nightmare.
That's when you question your career path.
Right.
Really.
I'm playing the guitar. I don't need to be spit on.
Yeah, my hands were covered in slime. It was not nice, man. I'm not telling you.
Was this because the Sex Pistols had just come along and made everything gross?
Kind of. It was that era. It was hardcore punk and... I mean, you had to be in London, but, I mean, that was a scene. It was only punk. You know, if you weren't punk, you were out of the business. And, you know, gobbing was part of the deal for
gobbing.
A while. Yeah, gobbing, they call it,
You Not must nice. Have been so happy to get out of the van. I mean, your first tour of the United States is legendary. I never had seen it in a movie until yours, Can't Stand Losing You, Surviving the Police. Andy Summers, our guest in the Kevin Amin Show. But that was, you guys were touring up and down the country, especially the East Coast, in a van playing for, how small were the crowds on that first tour, Andy?
Yeah, well, you know, we did this little, East Coast tour as the last-ditch attempt to save the band because we were just about finished in the UK. No one wanted us. And we started at CBGB's with probably, you know, 15, 20 people.
That's it.
That went down a storm, and just was so excited to be there at CBGB's, which, by the way, was an absolutely filthy hole.
But didn't spit on you.
No, no, but it was the mecca of punk. And then we did this little three-week tour, which ended up in Boston at the Rats Gallery. Yeah, which was very important for us. We completely sold it out for four nights. And one of the reasons was that on WBCN with a DJ called Oedipus was playing the song in Roxanne in heavy rotation. So everyone was very excited to see us. And, you know, we were sort of an unknown punk band, but that put us on the map. And A&M in America signed us on the strength of those shows.
It is hard to imagine now, because we've all grown up with Roxanne, and it's, of course, a classic rock staple now. But there was a time where that was too weird to play on the radio, and there were very few radio stations at the beginning. K-Rock, of course, where you are today, would have been one of them that would have played Roxanne very, very early for the Police, because we were playing all the imports and whatnot back then.
Yeah.
But that was where it all turned around for the Police. The documentary is called Can't Stand Losing You, Surviving the Police. Andy Summers is in studio with us here on the Kevin and Bean Show. It opens up in theaters tomorrow at the Lemley's Royal in West L.A., at the Lemley's Playhouse 7 in Pasadena. It's also at the AMC Rolling Hills in the Lemley NoHo. More with our guest, Andy Summers, right after this on K-Rock. Andy Summers in studio with us here on the Kevin and Bean Show. The documentary is called Can't Stand Losing You, Surviving the Police, opening up in select Southern California theaters everywhere tomorrow, based on the best-selling memoir that Andy also wrote called One Train Later. Andy, I know we're not going to have as much time as I would like, so let me just put this out there. Being in the world's biggest rock band is not all sunshine and daisies and rainbows, right? A lot of downsides to being that successful, that famous, that popular. True?
Well, you need to carry the metaphorical umbrella at all times.
And what's the biggest problem? Shield. Being away from home? Is that the hardest, the biggest hardship of that lifestyle?
What's the biggest hardship? It is. Yeah, of course, you know, classically it takes its toll on marriage. All three of us were divorced along the way. But at the same time, it's a hard one because it's, you know, an incredible blast and incredibly exciting because the sort of non-stop adrenaline rush of doing all this stuff. But, of course, it's, you know, you become sort of an automaton that just does this thing, and all the things that you might have cherished with your previous inner life go out the window.
At what point in the band's career, the Police, did it become, okay, now we need to start planning, take this seriously, business model, how we look, all of that stuff? Because you didn't care about that for
not the beginning. You know, I mean, I think at the beginning we were just hoping that we could, you know, get enough gigs to even survive or be a decent band. But then it sort of went way past that, obviously. I think certainly by the second album we were going, you know, we're really hot. We better take this seriously.
Right.
We got something here. Yeah.
And then is that when the three of you start? I mean, really, you sort of butt heads.
Always butted heads, but, you know, I mean,
does that intensify it?
It's a sort of subtle separating out as it gets really mega. You know, the one thing I always just said, look, you can't have a great rock band, really, without a lot of very sparky chemistry. And, you know, there are no mellow guys in our band. Everyone wants to be the leader. And that's the way it is. Everyone's fighting for the front position. But out of that, you get a really tough thing.
Yeah. Yeah, you show in the movie that you're by the Synchronicity tour, you're arriving at the stadium in separate limousines, and you're basically only seeing each other on stage. Even when you're recording that album, you're all in different rooms, different parts of the studio. It's almost like you can't stand to be in the same room with one another, and won't be unless it's on stage.
Yeah, it does sort of appear like that. I mean, by the time four and five albums turned up, it was getting more difficult. But we actually separated out, you know, which is weird, but really for sound purposes.
Oh, you did it for sound purposes, not because you were buddy.
Yeah, that's what
too
we
much.
Tell people about Kevin and Bebe in different states.
Seattle's pushing it a bit. You know, I don't know about that. We didn't get as far as separate cities, but we could have done it.
Andy, let me ask you this. Because the thing about documentaries is it's all in the editing. And I mean no disrespect in this question, but Sting really comes off as kind of a dick in this movie. Is that accurate? Are we just seeing a portion of the relationship with him? Or is that pretty representative?
Yeah, I think it's three dicks in one room.
But I mean, musically, he seems to really, he talks down to the other two members of the band all the time and makes them change things all the time, is what it looks like in the movie.
Yeah, I think what you're seeing, yeah, it's very sensitive and sort of cringing, but it's honest. You're seeing the sort of the nitty gritty of the tension of trying to put something together that's very good.
And the bastard's good looking to add to the mix, right?
Yeah.
I mean, it's just got to be a difficult thing. And then did he write most of the songs? Were you battling over which songs to put on the album and all that?
Well, it was always a fight. Yeah. It was always a fight. And I have to say, what sold the Police musically on record and so many millions of records was the sound of the three of us playing more than anything else. Mm-hmm. It's that chemistry. It's what not one guy with a backing group. It's three leaders fighting it out and getting to that sound that's that sort of tight compromise. That's the sound of the Police. Very spare, but, you know, it really cuts through.
So without that friction, you don't ever get to the
Police? I don't think so. You can't have even one mellow guy, really. And three mellow guys would be just like, might as well eat bananas.
All right.
Andy Summers here on the Kevin Keegan
Show. I would hear you might as well eat bananas. Nice interview.
Favorite part of today.
Sorry.
From the Police, talking about the film in theaters tomorrow called Can't Stand Losing You. You had to do a million radio interviews, and I know you didn't enjoy them that much. They got to be pretty repetitive. But it also seems like the media was playing a part, almost in delighting in the tension and trying to break you guys up with their line of questioning. What do you suppose that was about?
Yeah, we very early on got tarred with this image. And I feel even this time around, I have to sort of defend it and say, look, they're my brothers. We all love one another. And within the last week, I've heard, in fact, last night I heard from Stuart and I heard from Sting about a week ago, being very supportive about, you know, this current project going out with the movie. So beneath that very, you know, rather easily applied media thing that they put on us, you know, about, oh, you guys hate each other. Actually, we don't, you know. Just a little bit.
How did the global reunion tour happen after being apart for 20 years? How did you guys finally mend the fences enough to go, hey, let's take it around the world one more time?
Well, you know, of course, that whole intervening period, the first question in any interview is, when are you guys going to get back together? Not like, you know, always, no matter how... You know, I could have. The elephant was getting larger and larger in the room until we couldn't breathe. But basically, it all happened in 2006. Over the year, all three of us met at the Sundance Film Festival in January of that year, had a picture taken together, which went around the world in about 30 seconds flat. And in the English tablets, they're back. We weren't. We just happened to meet, you know. And then as over the year, I had dinner with Sting a few times in LA. Then we ended up in New York, and I was promoting the book, actually, One Train Later. I was at Barnes & Noble downtown. Sting had his Loot album out, and he was at Barnes & Noble uptown.
Okay.
And we were laughing. We got on the phone, and we were sort of laughing. All right, so this is what happened. Now we're both at Barnes & Noble. What happened?
We used to be a rock band.
Yeah. And then we met again in London not long after that and, you know, had a sort of a good time hanging out. And basically, you know, I got the call a few days later. That was sort of how it went down. You could sort of feel it coming over that year, 2006. And it was probably like December 2006. Right, we're going for it. And 2007, off we went.
What was the first time you stepped out on stage again like? Was it a little nerve-wracking or was it just like old times?
Yeah, no, it's a mix. It is nerve-wracking. I go, because it's a very loaded moment. Everybody, you know, the expectation was so high. And what we did was we played to about 19,000 in Vancouver. I think it was set up as a sort of fan club thing, like a tryout. Let's see if we can do this. We rehearsed in Vancouver for 3 weeks. And did the show, and immediately it was like, oh, yeah, we know how to do this. And we were back.
How big was that tour? It ended up being one of the biggest tours of all time, right?
It was at that time. I don't know if it's surpassed. I mean, I think clearly it would have been the biggest tour of all time if we just kept going longer. The only reason it wasn't actually technically number one was because the Stones went out for 4.5 years. Well, that's hard
to
beat.
Your other band.
But, you know, we outsold them everywhere we went, you know, by 50,000 a night. You know.
So here you're going to be playing for another 20 years.
I think so.
I'll be coming out of little wooden boxes eventually.
Maybe.
They'll have a gig. Yeah. So when the tour was finally over, you felt like, well, now we've actually said goodbye. That was a farewell, because the first time it didn't feel like a farewell. Now it feels like a farewell. Were you all comfortable? Did you do a thing like some bands do where they go, well, that's it?
now we're really done. We're just never going to do this again. That's a cherry on top. We're done. Or did you still leave the door open and who knows, maybe you'll do it again?
Well, you know, it's interesting because we also, oh, that's it, you know, and we were on the this show with Elvis Costello and Sting saying, I'm never going to step in the same river twice, and Stuart trying to fire us all. It was all sort of rubbish, basically, because it ain't over. Sorry, you know, and I was using the word closure. Oh, I need closure on the police. No, not really. Who wants that word? I don't want to close anything. I think whole game has changed. The whole game has changed. Look, the Stones are out. Van Halen went out, smacked themselves in the nose with a microphone.
Yeah, he did break his nose.
Good old Dave.
That did happen.
Yeah. Rock and roll. Good on it, you know. But I should try that, actually. In fact, I may do it before I leave
this room.
I
don't think that's a good idea. What's the legacy of the police? How do you think people think of the police in 2015, Andy?
Well, I think we have a very great legacy, actually. We had some... Well, you know, look, we had incredible success. I think we added a lot to the rock lexicon, if you like, you know, with the songs and the way we played. I think it really shook things up, which was, you know, an accomplishment because we didn't really want to sound like anything else. Luckily, the three of us had the particular talents and chemistry that actually made for that. But still, we, you know, there was... Some of it is unconscious, but a lot of it is very conscious, trying to get across that way and sustaining it for as long as we did. I think we have a, you know, I like all the stuff we did. So,
well, congratulations on all of your success, yeah, with and without the police, and with a guitar and with a camera too. Because as Ali said, your photographs are just amazing, just amazing. The documentary is called "Can't Stand Losing You: Surviving the Police." It's showing in several theaters in Southern California starting tomorrow, including the Lemley NoHo, AMC Rolling Hills, Lemley's Royal in West LA, and Lemley's Playhouse 7 in Pasadena. And it's based on the book, which now I'm going to go out and read because I'm sure there's a lot of stuff in the book that's not in the movie called "One Train Later" by Andy Summers. Andy, thanks so much for coming in, man. We really, really enjoyed it.
Great to be here. Thank you.
You're listening to the best of Kevin and Bean here on the world-famous K-Rock, K-R-O-Q, FM 106.7. Thanks for tuning in, even though the boys are on vacation. Allie McKay as well. I am still here, slaving over a hot microphone, bringing you all the entertainment news with the Showbiz Beat. And to what, to my wondering, I should appear. But this morning, who strolls into the studio? But none other than our beloved friend, diminutive comic, Brad Williams, ladies and gentlemen. Brad Williams!
Yeah, you heard the pitter-patter of little feet.
I did. I said, do we have rats? And no, it was Brad just stopping by to say hello.
I wish I knew if I should be insulted by the word diminutive.
Well,
I don't know if I should say thank you or F you. I'm not sure yet.
Unlike Donald Trump, I'm trying to stay politically correct, Brad. I don't want to lose my ties to NBC or Univision, so I'm trying to be nice to everybody.
Or Mexicans, for
or
that
Mexicans,
matter.
Yes.
Yeah. Good people.
They are good people. God love them.
I'm going to go out on a limb there.
Brad's coming by to keep me company and to do a walk the showbiz beat with me, so I appreciate you being here, buddy. Speaking of Brad Williams, I'm told that you're going to be performing at the Irvine Improv this weekend. Is that true?
That is correct. July 3rd, doing this Friday. Going to do two shows. Come by, see me. Orange County, my hometown. They see me do stand-up, have an umami burger.
Oh, that's right. They got that great restaurant right next door. If you've never been to the Irvine Improv, it's a beautiful joint. And if you've never seen Brad Williams live, you're missing out. One of the funniest people working today. So
thank you, sir.
Go to improv.com and get your tickets for Brad Williams for Friday, doing two shows. There's an early show at 7:30 and one at 9:45 p.m. But go check out Brad because we love him and he's funny and you'll have a good time.
And I just heard that adult star Eva Angelina is going to come by. So that's not going to suck.
Is she going to be on stage?
Maybe.
Because the hell with you then. Put her up there and you can just have a seat and have a cocktail. That's the show I want to see.
Yeah, just play a little Def Leppard and sit back and watch the show.
I'm glad you brought up adult entertainment because I thought this was funny. This week we played an interview with Dennis Hoff, who is the owner of the Moonlight Bunny Ranch.
Correct.
And one of his working girls, Air Force Amy. Do you know Air Force Amy?
She was on the HBO show. She's like, she's the legend of the Bunny Ranch. Her D-cups have been long since hoisted to the rafters.
Yes, they're on display there at the Bunny Ranch. She was on the HBO series Cat House. Yeah. I knew you would know if anybody would.
Sure,
right?
Absolutely. I don't know what that says about me.
Well, Air Force Amy has come forward and said that she wants to be the new face of America's $10 bill. You know, the Treasury Department has mentioned that they're going to put a woman on the $10 bill.
I mean,
and Air Force Amy has come forward and said she wants to be on the $10 bill.
Should we? USA! Yeah. USA! Hell yes. USA! Take that, ISIS.
She embodies everything the Treasury Department is looking for. She's a woman. She has served our country in the United States Air Force. She earned six figures. She says she has elevated women and the ability to control their own destinies. And so, for that honor, she thinks she should be put on the $10 bill.
I mean, they say her face, but shouldn't they put other parts of her on the $10 bill? It's what she's known for.
If you're going to put something of hers on a $10 bill, maybe the face is down on the list.
Yeah, like just the legs up there, like legs akimbo.
Yes.
Which was my
old radio name, by the way. When I started out this business, I was legs akimbo.
It's legs akimbo in the morning.
Look, if we're going to put a whore on the $10 bill, shouldn't it be Kim Kardashian, really, in this country?
That's true. But see, the thing is I don't know if they could do that because then black guys at the strip club would never throw the money out.
Never let a 10 spot go.
Never.
Here's the only problem for Amy is the woman who does end up on the $10 bill apparently will have to be dead. That's the rules. The Treasury rules state anyone on the face of United States currency has to be dead.
I mean, she's a working girl, so maybe just dead inside?
Yeah, there you go. Put a picture of her innards on the $10 bill.
Yeah, so instead of her, it'll be a picture of her relationship with her father.
Sad show business news today.
No!
We're laughing.
After that joke,
but this is sad news. It's Splitsville for Bennifer. Ben Affleck and Jennifer Garner have released a statement saying they, after much thought and careful consideration and much loud arguing, they have decided that they are going to go separate ways. But they will still continue to go forward with love and friendship, Brad, because they're going to be co-parenting their three children.
Oh, so, that's such a big liar.
So, it is a big liar.
Okay, so they're figuring out custody of the kids. Who gets custody of Daredevil?
Oh, I don't think anybody wants that. Daredevil's an orphan.
Is there going to be a hearing to be like, you take that. You take that.
Daredevil's going to a foster home. That's where they're going to send Daredevil.
Winner gets the IMDb credit stricken from the record.
Hey, Chip, you know, I've been here last week and this week. I've been working hard on the showbiz beat. And everyone says, oh, it's a shame you're there by yourself. Obviously, Brad's here. I'm not by myself now. But all week long, I haven't been by myself. Because Chip has been behind the board there, working, slaving hard, working for you. And
The kids love Chip.
It has not gone unnoticed, Chip. I have, listener Edwin just wrote this in.
Oh, sweet.
He said, Ralph, thanks for giving us showbiz news while Kevin and Bean lay on some beach in Hawaii, or in Bean's case, visit the biggest walnut in Des Moines. And I love it when your little board operator, Chip, chimes in. She is funny and charming, and I feel she is a lot of fun to hang around. I can imagine her rocking out in a cool club with her latest band, downing shots afterwards, and dancing on tables.
Wow.
Yes? I bet that Chip can really party.
I bet that Chip can really party. I bet that Chip can really party. I bet that Chip can really party.
Thank you, Edwin, for that. Always
sweet. I made Bugatti.
You made the Bugatti list. Congratulations.
Yeah, it's me and Chip. You are outnumbered by the little people.
I am. I feel like Gulliver. I got Ryder syndrome. I feel like Gulliver.
Well, beware of the midgets.
Yeah.
They're taking over the world.
That's right.
Are you guys going to tie me down on a beach?
I mean,
make me be your leader?
Sure.
Well, we're going to wait for the 9 o'clock hour.
Does anyone know Gulliver's Travels? Am I alone here? The Lilliputians.
I know. I know the Jack Black TV movie.
Oh.
Then you don't know Gulliver's Travels.
Little people are going to tie me down. It's my lame attempt at a Jack Black impression.
Jack Black.
Do I need a point again?
What's that?
Do I need a point again?
Chip's been pointing at the door to Brad since he walked in, so I don't know how much longer he's going to be around. Can you stick around for another showbiz? Can
of
you
hang course out I'll stick around.
All right, next showbiz, Brad will return, and we're going to have a good time. Meanwhile, let's take a look at celebrity birthdays. All these stars born on today, July the 1st. Liv Tyler is 38 years old today. Missy Elliott turns 44. Pamela Anderson's 47. Dan Aykroyd, the legend. Dan Aykroyd.
Seen him in those new State Farm commercials now.
Oh, that's right. He's bringing the Coneheads back, right?
Yeah, and they're funny. I like them.
I do, too.
So some people are like, oh, they're bringing out all the old Saturday Night Live characters. Yes, I'm okay with that.
Me, too.
They're great.
We are from France.
Oh, perfect.
And singer Deborah Harry, of course, lead singer of Blondie. She is 70 years old today. I'm Ralph Garman. He's Brad Williams, and we're walking the showbiz beat.
All right, are we really going to do this?
Or yes, we are.
Or are we going to bump it for something else?
Nope.
Since the last week of January, we have been trying to talk about this story, and it has always been bumped. But today's the day. We want to hear from you. If you ever found money, what did you do if you found cash? It wasn't yours. Did you keep it? Did you turn it in? What did you do? And the reason we started talking about this is a story out of Rochester, New Hampshire. Maybe you saw this on the news. She goes to Burger King, the drive-thru window, and instead of getting the sandwich that she ordered, I believe it was a sweet tea and a junior spicy chicken sandwich, instead of that, they hand her a Burger King bag that has $2,631 in it, which somebody obviously had set aside to take to the bank. And instead, they got their bags mixed up, and it went to the customer in the drive-thru window. So she calls her husband and says, what up? And her husband, Matthew, says they did briefly consider keeping the money, which they certainly could have used. But he said that they are Jehovah's Witnesses, and that Jehovah sees everything. So it sounds like if they weren't religious,
yeah,
maybe they would have kept it. Maybe it was just the all-seeing eye of God that kind of put them on the straight and narrow. Which is one good thing, I guess, about believing in God, is if it helps you do the right thing, right?
Yeah, we've had other stories. A lot of them involve, like, getting overpaid at work. Mm-hmm. And so where you're probably going to get caught. In this particular case, they handed her cash. They had no idea they handed her cash. There was no way they would ever find her.
Yeah, even if they had a video on the drive-thru window, it would have just been handing her a bag. You know, it would have been very difficult for them to go back on that video and look to find out which car it was that got the cash. And even if you did, then what are you going to do?
How do you prove that was it?
How do you prove it? How do you track those people down and stuff like that? We see stories like this all the time. There was that story that was in the news last year, I want to say. Maybe you guys remember this, about that guy who bought a house in Utah. And then he found, upon investigating the house, he went up into the attic and found, God, I think it was like $50,000 or something like that he found up there. And it turned out that he had bought the house from some adult children who were selling it on behalf of their late parents. Their parents had passed away, and the kids inherited the house, and they sold it. And this guy, this new homeowner, remembered that, and he contacted them and said, hey, I found all this money. And they said, yeah, my dad was, you know, was a hoarder. He didn't believe in banks, and he, you know, used to squirrel money away. We just missed it. We didn't know it was there. And they gave the money back to the
That's
people.
That's crazy.
I mean, they bought the house. They owned the house. There was $50,000 in the attic, and they turned it over.
I just feel like things come back to you. I've never been super religious, and I'm not one to ever say, oh, karma, but things come back. Why not, if it's not yours, try really hard to find the people that it belongs to?
Because it's $50,000.
No, but you know what? Those kids might be going through their own hardships.
They just sold a house.
That's right.
They did
because
just sell a
they
house.
They really needed the money after a sad death in the family.
We're just playing devil's advocate.
I get that. But I'm also the person, like, when you are walking on Venice Beach and you see, like, $5, mm-hmm. I won't even reach for it because I know there's a string and there's a guy that's just going to laugh at you. Right. So I just keep walking.
All right. How about if it's not Rick, you hang on. Chris, Darren, Mark, we got some great calls. We're going to take them in a minute here at 1-800-520-1067. How about if it's not a potential scam or stunt on Venice Beach? How about if you're at the grocery store tonight, Allie, buying some dinner, and you see a $20 bill laying in the middle of the aisle in the Safeway?
Okay.
What's your move?
I'll pick it up.
And?
Probably give it to someone as I leave.
To someone or the manager?
There's usually people outside that are looking for money.
Okay.
So you won't turn it into the store and say, hey, I found this on the store. If anybody claims it, here it is. You won't do that. You'll just pass it on.
Yes.
Basically. I had this happen in reverse. I know it's hard to believe that I left my wallet someplace.
Stop it.
But I left my wallet at McDonald's, and I got a phone call from somebody saying, hey, you left your wallet. And I met him at the McDonald's, and I don't know, I had $40 in it or something. It was all there.
See?
Right? Did it make you feel great about the world, though?
I mean, I would have been happy if they took the money but just gave me back my ID and my credit cards.
Yeah, because that's the pain in the ass.
Yeah.
Right, exactly.
But all the money was still there, too.
I mean, it's definitely... We all agree it's the right thing to do. It's whether if you're in that situation and you can get away with it, if you'll do it or not. But let's talk to some of our listeners and see what they did. How about Scott in Burbank, where I hear the weather is very nice today? He's on line 5, and he's up first here on the Kevin Beach Show. Scott, thank you so much for calling. You found some money, right?
Yeah. I worked at a grocery store in Burbank in high school, and I was collecting carts, and I found a purse a lady left in the cart, and it had $145 in it, and I took all the 20s and left the $5 bill, and I gave it to my manager, and when she came and picked it up, she looked in it, was sad that the $140 was gone, and asked who found her purse. I said it was me, and she tried to give me the $5 as a tip.
Oh, wow.
You have never felt crappier than you did at that minute.
It's the worst thing that I've ever done.
That's a horrible story. So you had the opportunity at that point to say, oh, I think these 20s fell out, and let me give them back to you. Did you do it?
No, I don't know.
It made it so much worse that she gave you an extra five.
Oh, yeah, Scott.
My manager was like, oh, he's not allowed to take tips. I was like, yeah, it's okay. Don't worry about
I've
it.
I've already been tipped.
I am so sad by this story. All right. Well, you're a bad man, but you're a good man for calling and admitting it. Thank you for calling and thank you for listening. All right. 1-800-520-1067. You found money. What happened next? We'll take your calls right after this on K-Rock.
Our friend Kevin Smith joins us next hour in studio here on the Kevin and Bean Show, and we'll talk sports with Jim Rome. That's all on the way. Ronda Rousey in the 9 o'clock hour. Right now we're talking about you found money. It wasn't yours. Now you're at a crossroads. Do I keep the money if I can get away with it, or do I turn it back in and do the right thing? How did it end up for you? We're taking your calls at 1-800-520-1067. Let's go to Jay. He's one of your people, Kevin. He found money in Las Vegas, of all places.
Hey, Jay.
Hey, how's it going? Good morning, guys.
Hi there. You were in Vegas, and you found money.
Hell yeah. So we were done with our registration in the Mirage. We were walking back to the elevator. I spot a wallet on the floor. I pick it up. My heart starts beating. And I thought to myself, I was like, huh, should I? So
how much?
How much was it?
Yep. So
I looked for an ID first, and then I checked out the money.
Liar. How much?
It was like about $500 to $600.
Wow.
Yes.
Sir.
And Las Vegas, you can turn that into $3 million, man.
I know, but the thing is, you know, it was a Friday, and I bet that was someone's cash for the weekend, and so
you gambled it?
No. I wish I did. You know what? I would have just bet on black.
Yeah. Isn't there a part of you that just goes, maybe I could double up and I could get that amount of money and still pay it back?
Yes.
No.
That's clearly the right move, Kevin.
That's the beer mug move.
But in turn, you're going to be ruining someone's weekend.
So. Yeah.
So what did you do?
So I went to the security desk, and right when I arrived there, the guy that lost his wallet was right there asking for it.
Oh, no
How
kidding.
How about that? All right. Did he peel off $100 for you?
Yes, he did. He actually gave me $150, and here's the kicker. The following Vegas trip, I get blitzed out of my mind playing video poker at the bar with my cousin, and I lose my wallet.
Wow.
Well, I hope somebody returned it.
They did, with all the cash in it.
Look at that. A happy ending. Isn't that what you were talking about, Allie?
It exactly was. It came right back to you.
Thank you for the call. We really appreciate it. Let's go to Sundown in Torrance. Sundown on line 8.
Hey, yeah, Sundown.
Hi. Good morning.
Hi.
I found a wallet by the beach, and it had almost $600, but there was a driver's license there. So I drove to the guy's house, and I returned his wallet. And the funny thing is, he didn't even realize he had lost it.
Oh, wow.
And now you're married.
That would be the best ending to the story ever.
Right?
No.
Sundown, did you have any moment of, wow, finders, keepers, losers, weepers, this is mine now?
Oh, yeah. I mean, that was the first thought. And this was a long time ago. And just to give you an idea, back then, my rent was like $700 a month. So it was almost a month's rent.
Yeah. That's pretty sweet.
Because his address and his name was there.
You couldn't do it.
Keep it. I couldn't do it. I couldn't
good,
do it. It
good for you.
Me for the rest of my life.
Good for you. Thank you very much for the call. We appreciate that. Let's do Mark real quick. Mark's in Thousand Oaks. He's on line 4. Now, I wanted to get him on the air because he was only 13 when he found the money. So let's see what kind of decision he made.
Hey, Mark.
Hey, guys. How you doing?
Good. Thank you. 13 years old. Tell us about finding money.
I was skateboarding around with my friend, and I actually around a bank, and I fell off my skateboard, and something broke my fall, and sure enough, it was a purse. So being kids, we took the $480 out of the purse, went straight to the mall, got some new skateboarding gear, and
and never looked back.
This is the first story that we've had. There's not even a consideration of giving it back.
Right. How fast can we spend it? Well, he was 13.
Yeah,
I bet most 13-year-olds
who don't have... Did you go to the Oaks Mall, though?
Yeah, don't judge me, guys.
All right.
Did you go to the Oaks Mall?
Oh, yeah, you know the area.
Yeah, I do. I lost a purse at my bank, actually.
What'd you do with the purse, by the way? Just throw it in the bushes?
We left it there. We didn't even move it. We took the
You just pretended straight. You never saw it.
Nice.
Never even saw
yeah.
it.
Yeah, you're a dick. All right, thanks, Mark. Appreciate the call. Here's a 42-year-old Las Vegas cab driver. His name is Adam Woldermarum. He was cleaning out his taxi prior to his shift one day when he came across a laptop case in the back seat. Inside, guys, was $221,510 in cash. He asked the driver from the previous shift if he had forgotten anything. The driver said no, so he took the money to the cab company's security desk and turned it in. About an hour later, an Ethiopian immigrant... I guess, hold on a second, let me read this guy. About an hour later, the cab driver, who was an Ethiopian immigrant, received a dispatch to return to the company office where the man who had lost the money arrived to pick it up. He had won it at a casino, and the cab driver was given a $2,000 tip by the man for returning the money. He won $221,000 at a casino and left it in the back of a cab. Isn't that amazing?
It's amazing that the cab driver took it back.
Yeah.
I mean,
yeah.
That's 220. I mean, it's amazing he didn't take like 20 grand. Still, that guy's getting most of his money back.
Yep. He got a $2,000 tip for returning the money. But that is remarkable, man. That is not, you know, I'm not trying to disparage cab drivers, but I don't think most humans could walk away from that kind of windfall. I mean, that changes your life right there.
Yeah.
All right. So we found out that our listeners find money and for the most part give it back, except for that one guy.
Skateboarder.
Right, the skateboarder. And Allie still wants her money. I want to talk about shark attacks for a minute here. Ralph said something yesterday that was a couple days ago, very troubling to me, that shark attacks are on the rise. Now, aren't sharks the most terrifying thing in the world, really?
To me, they are, yeah.
Top
Chip,
five, yeah.
Yeah. Chip, you go surfing, bodyboarding, stuff like that. How much do you think about? I mean, the shark attacks are a thing that happen in Southern California. How often do you think about every time you get into the water, what if today's the day I get bit?
Not really, but lately I've not been surfing because there have been so many in Huntington lately, like with the baby great whites and stuff. So I've been, I'm like, they're probably not going to attack me, but I just don't want to take that chance.
Plus, you're so tiny, it would be really hard for a shark to find you, right?
Exactly.
Plus, it's an appetizer. They might leave you alone.
Shark attacks are on the rise. Here's one example, by the way. It won't surprise you that Florida is the number one state in the union for shark attacks. Of course, it has a lot of shoreline and a lot of people. It makes sense. 28 shark attacks in Florida last year. There were only 4 in North Carolina last year, but there were 2 on Sunday. 2 shark attacks on Sunday, 2 different people bit about 2 miles away from one another. One of whom, by the way, was a 16-year-old boy named Hunter Treshy, who lost his arm below the shoulder. Now, think about that guy. He's a 16-year-old kid going out into the water going, hey, I'm enjoying my weekend. Hey, this is fun. The next thing you know, dude's got no arm for the rest of his life.
Yeah. Do you see his statement is that he didn't feel it. He saw his arm in the water.
Oh,
that seems bad.
Oh. And the reason, Kevin, did you read further? The reason he didn't feel it is because he was concentrating on how much it hurt that the shark bit his leg.
Yeah.
Yeah. So he didn't notice that his arm was missing. So I don't know what the hell is going on there in North Carolina. I don't know what the hell is going on around the world, but shark attacks seem way up. And we asked producer Dave, is there somebody we can talk to on the scene in North Carolina? And I believe we go there now to talk to reporter Ricky Goodman, who joins us on the Kevin and Bean Show. Mr. Goodman, thank you so much for your time, sir.
Hello, Kevin and Bean. How are you?
Very good. Thank you. Well, we're fine. What's the situation like there in North Carolina? Are people panicked? Are people staying away from the water as a result of these recent attacks?
As you can imagine, people are very upset here in North Carolina. I'm actually here on the beach, and I've got an interview with the shark himself.
Oh.
Mr. Shark, many people were surprised to hear that sharks are found in these waters. Where do you usually swim? All along the eastern shore. How is the water here in North Carolina?
The water is warm.
On the day of the attack, you were the only shark spotted in the water. Why do you hunt alone?
Sometimes I feel like I don't have a partner.
Now, Mr. Shark, some people have been saying that the teenagers should not have been swimming in those waters. Is there anything you'd like to say to those two kids?
It's not your fault but mine.
What would you say to the other beachgoers that are there on the beach?
I'm on the hunt, I'm after you.
What's it like when you see a beach full of vacationers?
Just like
heaven. Yes, they must look like colorful candies to you. Are tourists your favorite food?
Candy on the beach, there's nothing better.
How many could you eat in one day? Don't you ever get full?
I just can't get
There doesn't seem to be any rhyme or reason to these recent attacks. Why is that, Mr. Shark? When it comes to your food, do you have a preference for males or females?
Girls. All I really want is girls.
Speaking of which, you seem to have your eye on that female swimmer over there right now.
This woman is my destiny.
I can see that you are a great white shark. How do people feel about that?
All the girlies say I'm pretty fly for a white guy.
Speaking of great whites, as a shark, how do you feel when you watch a movie like Jaws? Well, like in that movie, there's been some talk here in North Carolina of a group of fishermen banding together to hunt you down and kill you. It is so. And if they try to stop you, will you continue to feed in these waters?
Yeah.
Why?
You gotta fight for your right to water.
Well, there you have it, Kevin and Bean, right from the shark's mouth.
Ladies and gentlemen, reporter Ricky Goodman on the scene in North Carolina. Well done, sir.
I feel like everything's going pretty well. I'm happy with it so far.
I like it.
Yeah. So far today.
Good equipment. Everything's working. We're good.
Congratulations to John Burns from Anaheim. Just got his passes to tour Universal Studios privately with Stryker. Just he and Stryker.
Yeah, I don't know if you want to be alone with Stryker, man. I don't know that. Yeah. Scary.
They're going to be checking out the Fast and Furious Supercharged ride at Universal Studios. Your chance to win is coming up.
Let's face it, though. If you went anywhere with Stryker, would you be checking out anything other than his tail? Wouldn't that be the only thing you would care about at that point?
Okay.
Are you not fascinated with Stryker's tail?
Not really.
I still am.
No, not really.
Wow. Hey, Thursday morning on the Kevin and Bean Show. Thanks so much for tuning in. We promise we'll get our act together. In fact, we'll do that right now with What's Up with Florida.
You goddamn people in Florida! You bunch of bastards!
Florida, Florida, Florida.
What's up with Florida?
The Sunshine State back in the news. America's penis once again with the greatest stories in the world. This one is very scary. I want to laugh, but it's almost too sad to be funny. She is a Florida woman accused of driving under the influence of alcohol with children in the car. Very scary. This just happened this past Tuesday. A sheriff's deputy in Volusia County noticed that the woman was driving with expired tags on her car and also with a child bouncing around and not buckled into a seat. So he wisely pulled her over. It turns out behind the wheel was a 33-year-old woman named Kateria Thomas, who was drunk at the time, by the way. She had glassy eyes, smell of alcohol. While she was driving drunk, Kevin, she was also breastfeeding a 2-month-old child while driving. While driving drunk.
She's a multitasker.
The deputy said she failed a sobriety test, refused a breathalyzer. She told the deputy that she hadn't been drinking. Listen to this. But she had just eaten 4 hamburgers that had whiskey on them.
What?
Is that a thing? Whiskey on hamburgers?
I mean, they cook all kinds of different food with alcohol, but it usually burns off and you...
Yeah.
Exactly, yes. It doesn't get you drunk. She was arrested on charges of DUI, child acts that could result in harm, and driving without a valid license. By the way, so she's drunk. She's breastfeeding a 2-month-old. She also had a 1-year-old, a 3-year-old, and a 4-year-old in the car with her.
Well, what could have gone wrong?
She's making a lot of very, very poor choices, I think. We go to Sarasota, Florida for our next story. Here's a man who fell asleep after breaking into a home over the weekend. His name is Timothy Montrager. He was 29 years old, charged with felony burglary of an occupied dwelling. He broke into a home and fell asleep on the couch while he was in there. The homeowner, who was home at the time, told police that she woke up around 7:20 a.m. and found the man sleeping on her couch. She said, "Hey, what's up?" He apologized. She picked up the phone and called the police.
Hey, sorry about that whole "I fell asleep in your house" thing.
By the way, it does say that he was charged with felony burglary. It doesn't say that he made any attempt whatsoever to steal anything. It sounds like he just broke into the house, went to the couch, and went to sleep.
He needed a nap.
Apparently so. So she picks up the phone to call police. Oh, here we go. Then the victim noticed that her wallet, driver's license, credit cards, and checks were missing. Okay, so he actually did steal stuff before he left. So wouldn't you think that you would pick that stuff up and then just get the hell out? Like, what part of your brain says, all right, I got what I came for. I'm getting away with it. Oh, that couch looks so good.
I'm just going to just for a second.
A couple of seconds.
Yeah.
Just a little nap.
Just a refresher.
He was he did run out of the house. He was found walking along a nearby road, and he was transported to jail without incident. Here's a great story that I didn't think was true until I went to the YouTube channel of the Lee County Sheriff's Office, and there's a great description of the story of Christopher Radecki. He's a 44-year-old man who said that a woman with fangs came to his door and told him that children were going to be sacrificed to vampires unless he got help. So he got in his car and drove to the sheriff's house to try to get him to save the children. Sounds to me like he's doing the right thing at this point. Here's what you see on the video. He pulls into the sheriff's driveway and hits the back of the sheriff's patrol vehicle in the driveway with his own car. He's got his radio turned on and up. He starts dancing along on top of the sheriff's car to the music coming out of the radio. You can see him dancing to Rich Girl by Hall & Oates. He's clapping and he's dipping and he's twisting. Then the radio goes into Goodbye Stranger by Supertramp. Nice. The man on top of the police car goes down on his knees and begins twerking with his hands around his ankles. He slides from the roof of the car as the radio goes to a commercial break. He rips the windshield wiper off the sheriff's police car, hurls it across the lawn, then hops off the vehicle. Then you see him disappearing from the frame for a few minutes, and then he reappears holding an American flag lawn decoration and continues to dance in the yard to "You're the One That I Want" from Grease until police arrive and they cart the man off and he was arrested. Officials say he was not on any drugs or medication. He had not been drinking, and he did not have any mental health conditions.
What?
So,
no, what? Wrong, lie.
What?
What about the children? How are they? Are they okay?
That's an outstanding question, Allie. What about the children? What about the vampires coming from the children? All right, one more. Now, this is a difficult story because there are a lot of things that we can't say. So let me just remind you that dogs like to lick things. Okay, let me just put that out there, that dogs do enjoy licking things. No. And then completely unrelated to that, here's a young woman who is facing charges after police uncovered multiple cell phone photos of her with a pit bull on her telephone. Bradenton police say they uncovered the photos while working on a sexual battery investigation. It doesn't say how they came across her particular phone. It's unclear in this article whether she was the target of the investigation or somehow they found her while looking for someone else. But she kept images in a folder on her phone called Two-Face Fun. 17 photos of her with her dog. The detectives went to the woman's home to ask her about the dog, whose name is Two-Face, but they did not see any sign of the animal. She told police that she kept the dog at her grandma's house and admits that she would go over to visit him. She also admitted that Two-Face was not the first dog that she had taken pictures with.
What is happening?
You guys with
Florida?
Me here?
Yes.
The dog was taken to a veterinarian for an evaluation. It was pronounced healthy and probably also very happy, by the way. Bestiality, as it is properly pronounced, I have been told, was legal in Florida until the state finally passed a law forbidding sex with animals in the year 2011. They had to change the wording of the new law a year later in 2012 after a man claimed that the law did not apply to oral sex, only with actual regular sex.
Well, you have to be specific.
You do have to be specific. So I feel like they face obstacles in Florida that the rest of the states manage to avoid. Like every day in Florida, the legislatures must come into session. They go, what do we have to do with the people in this state? How many new laws do we have to pass to stop them from doing dumb things? But that's a crazy week for all of that to happen in 1 week in one state, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, right. That's best. Why we ask, what's up with Florida?
Florida, Florida, Florida. What's up with Florida?
Southwest Airlines.
That's a song that'll wake you up in the morning.
Hey!
That makes you feel like just coming to Jesus, doesn't it?
That's a good tune right there. You are listening to the best of Kevin and Bean here on the world famous K-Rock 106.7. KROQ-FM. Speaking of music, this weekend, don't forget, it's the big Firecracker 500, all your favorite K-Rock songs in order of lovability. I think that's the factor, isn't it? They treat them by lovability?
I'm thinking science.
Science? Scientific survey? So make sure you listen to K-Rock all weekend long. It is Ralph here, walking the showbiz beat, while Kevin and Bean are on vacation. Listen to the best of Kevin and Bean. But I have a very special guest in the studio with me. He dropped by to bring me some Jack in the Box breakfast. God love him. It's our friend, diminutive comedian, Brad Williams.
Hello, everybody. Yes.
I bring you breakfast. Okay, that's got to be a service. I mean, they got Uber.
Right.
I don't know. Duber? Dwarfer? Dwarfer?
Dwarfer.
Midget? Urber?
Midget breakfast.
All right. It doesn't really flow off the tongue quite as well, but it's a solid service.
It's a great service. You could put it on a sombrero and you could eat it off your head.
That's I like that. I do too. I think we're sitting on a gold mine right here, Ralph Garman.
As you know, Brad is a friend of the show and just one of our favorite comedians working today. And real quickly, speaking of working, don't you have a show Friday?
I have two shows.
Two shows Friday at the Irvine Improv.
That's correct, sir. Down in Orange County, California.
7:30 and 9:45 if you're down there in the O.C. and you're looking for something to do to kick off your holiday weekend. Friday night, July 3rd, Brad Williams will be performing at the Irvine Improv. You can go to improv.com for tickets. Tickets are just a measly $20 a piece, by
the
way.
That's it. Firecrackers, hot dogs, and midgets. USA.
It's like $5 a foot for Brad Williams right there. So that's a pretty good value, I think, in my opinion.
I think, as a comedian, I do give you the most bang for the buck.
Absolutely.
You know, like Alonzo Bowden, Gary Goldman, these 6'5" guys. Great talent.
Right.
But not in terms of the package. Exactly.
Yeah. And you got your Showtime special still airing, right?
I do. Brad Williams Fun Size is still airing on Showtime, so check your local listings, DVR it. Nothing like seeing a dwarf in a vest.
He's a funny man. And not just the vest, although the vest is hilarious.
I mean, come on.
This is great news for Foo Fighter fans like myself. You know, Foo Fighters canceled all upcoming concerts because of Dave's brutal leg injury.
Can't even perform with a broken leg. Oh, wait, he did.
Oh, that's right. He just wrapped it up and got back on stage for that first show. And then afterwards, he's like, damn, this hurts. But it looks like there may be some light at the end of that tunnel. There was supposed to be a cancellation of the band's big 20th anniversary concert at RFK Stadium in Washington, D.C., but then this was posted on the band's Facebook page yesterday. Can't effing wait for the 4th. See you at home, D.C.
All right.
So it looks like Dave and the band are going to go out on their big North American tour anyway. The Independence Day show is the opener. And then it wraps up closer to home here, October the 18th at Castaic, California. Now, no word on how Dave will be able to pull this off, but they're speculating he might just have to sit for the entire show, which is so not Dave. But.
Yeah, but I mean, you saw the picture when he did break the leg and then went back up on stage. He had a doctor literally holding his leg
while
he's strumming, which I would like to say, hey, that guy was bending over. Chip and I, we can set that thing.
Oh, good point.
Dude, I like where you're going with this.
Yes. Standing up, leg team.
You guys could be
Stop drilling, you've struck oil.
You guys could be his leg wranglers.
Yes.
His leg tech. You just go out there and you just hold the leg.
I'm pretty sure I saw the leg wranglers last week at the Troubadour.
Yeah, they're
solid
great.
Band.
They're a great band. And movie news. We now know the name of the next Star Trek movie. Star Trek Beyond is the name of the film. This according to director Justin Lin, who is directing the film. He also did Fast and Furious 6. He tweeted the new title along with a little pic of the new Starfleet uniform, which looks cool. Not as cool as the old Kirk Girdle uniform. That was my favorite of the Star Trek uniforms. about the middle of the second season, they started just wrapping Shatner into this green girdle-type tunic.
Do the kids know about that reference?
Shatner Girdle? Everybody knows Shatner was Captain Kirk. What do you think? They only know Chris Pine? Come on, Brad.
I mean, so Star Trek Beyond?
Star Trek Beyond. Is
okay.
Beyond.
Do they do a sponsorship with that Bed Bath Company?
Oh, that'd be awesome. It's better than Star Trek Inside. I rented that once, and that's a whole different movie.
Chip is pointing to the door.
She give you the point?
Saying
got the point, man.
You have earned the point several times today.
Good BB&B joke.
That's like, there's file, and then there's point. You got point.
Good BB&B joke. And you're hitting me up for Shatner, and you're going to the Bed Bath & Beyond humor?
Classy.
We're already out of time. I'm so bummed. We're having such a good time with Brad. Once again, Brad Williams, if you've never seen him live, you are missing out on one of the funniest nights of your life. Go see him at the Irvine Improv, which is a great place to see comedy, by the way. Brand new venue down there. Well, it's about a year old. You're in Irvine, California. Go to improv.com, click on the Irvine Club, and buy your Brad Williams tickets for two shows on Friday, the 7:30 p.m. early show, and then a 9:45 show.
That's when I get drunk. Off of two shots.
Right. Someone buys him a drink at 7:30, and by 9:45, the pants come off.
Woo!
Sorry. I'm getting up.
Party don't stop till the midget's panties drop, I always say. Thanks for coming and visiting, Brad. Appreciate it.
Thank you so much, Ralph.
These today's celebrity birthdays. Dan Aykroyd, 63 years old today. Pamela Anderson is 47. Let's give Pam like a Hall of Fame bell, shall we?
Right. I think she's earned it.
I think so, too.
Whenever I drive to San Diego, when I was a kid, you drive down the 5, and they have that nuclear power plant that's on the right-hand side.
San Onofre, yeah.
My dad makes the same joke every time. He just goes, hey, kids, look, Pamela Anderson's laying there on the beach.
Woo! Missy Elliott's 44, Liv Tyler's 38 years old today, and singer Deborah Harry of the band Blondie is 70. I'm Ralph Garman. Thanks, Brad, for stopping by. I walk the showbiz beat.
What?
Hey, B-Mix's guess, you guys.
B-Mix's guess, yeah.
Ooh, ooh.
B-Mix's guess, yeah.
Who gets penis slapped?
Penis a dick.
Pretty dope, man.
Just wanna tell ya.
I am the dumbest human that ever lived.
Now it's time for B-Mix's guess.
Yes.
Behave. That theme always reminds me of Austin Powers for some reason.
Ralph has a theory that I have a condition, and part of that condition is that I love lists.
Theory.
But the truth is I do love
you
lists.
You love lists more than anything in the world. Bean makes up lists just to have them.
Right. Lists are one of my 5 favorite things in the world. I've made that list. Yeah. So every once in a while I like to go to a site that is nothing but lists. It's called Ranker.com. Now, this is a crowdsourcing site where they put out a topic, and the audience weighs in and votes, and it makes a list of who's voted for what.
Bean makes us guess, yeah.
21,000 people responded to this one, and this is going to be a Bean makes us guess where I think there are going to be so many great answers. We're only going to try to figure out the top 10, but you guys are going to come up with a lot more than that. This is not one of those where you're going to be scratching your head trying to come up with anything to fill in the list.
Speak for yourself. I always have to scratch my head and try to think of
the list.
First
is,
he has to find his head, and then he has to scratch it.
The most inspirational sports movies of all time. Inspirational sports movies. Now, I assume they intentionally said inspirational rather than best or something like that, because we're talking about the ones where,
most sports movies
So this is the triumph of the underdog, or this you guys know what I'm talking about. I'm sure you all have a million guesses already in your mind. So let's see if we can come up with the top 10. We'll keep points. Ally McKay's got the list there. Kevin, as usual, you go first.
I've scratched my head first.
The Water Boy.
We are looking for the top. We are looking for the top 10, and I am sorry to say,
no, Kevin, that was a joke.
I'm sorry to say, the Waterboy. Oh, it was a joke. Okay.
Yeah. There's no time limit on this because I know an old one. I want to guess
whatever you want.
Hoosiers.
Hoosiers is, I think, is a fantastic guess, and that's why it's number 4 on this list of the most inspirational sports movies of all time. Ralph Garman.
Well, there's a certain film, it means a lot to me personally.
Uh-huh.
You don't have to be all mentally regular.
Right.
Because it's about, a boxer.
What's it called?
It's from Philadelphia, Southpaw, South Jersey,
The title is?
And he's got a girlfriend. They go, ice skating.
And if I went to Netflix, I would have to find that movie.
Skate,
I would look up.
It's bad for the ankles because, you got to stay in shape for, fighting.
Ladies and gentlemen, Rocky is number 1 on the list of the most inspirational sports. How could it not
be? Give me a mic so I can drop it, please.
How could it not? All right, so we have number 1, number 4. Ally McKay, you're up.
This movie is not inspirational to me because I went to Boston College and we aren't very fond of this school.
Okay, doesn't matter.
Rudy!
Number 3, ladies and gentlemen.
Thank you.
Rudy.
Great guess.
Thank you.
Great Rudy. Guess. All right, 3 for 3, guys. Can we keep it going?
Oh, yeah, we can.
It's back to Kevin.
Miracle on Ice.
Are you referring to the movie
Miracle? From Miracle? Is that what you're talking about?
Is that based on the 1980?
Yes.
Hockey
team?
Yes, Miracle.
That is your guess.
Yes.
Is that your final answer?
It's not on there. Okay.
Are you the weakest link? Miracle is number 6.
Oh, yes!
Wow.
How
about that? Great effing movie, too,
that
by
is
the way.
Great.
Yeah. Kurt Russell's genius in that.
Ruled in that film. All right, you guys are awesome on this. Ralph Garman.
I'm going to need some help on this, but you know what I'm talking about. What is the movie about? The football player that Sandra Bullock takes in.
Yes.
The Blind Side. Is that it? The Blind Side?
Ladies and gentlemen, number 7.
Boom!
Inspirational sports movie of all time, according to Ranker.com. Well done, you guys. All right, Allie, can you keep going?
Don't F this up for us, Allie.
Well, here's the thing. I don't know how inspirational it is, but it's one of the best sports movies of all time.
That's not the category. It's inspirational.
But I bet there's a lot of crossover in that list.
Brian's song.
No. It was a TV show. It was a TV movie. It was on television. Not a movie.
Was it
that
really?
Was television.
It wasn't in the
And it was, that was a total bummer.
It was a bummer,
TV but it movie, inspired telemovie. Me not to it, get disease.
First of all, it inspired you not to get cancer and on television.
Really?
Was Roz from Frasier on it?
How dare you?
How dare you ruin our perfect record?
Yep. You blew it. You just blew the no-hitter in the seventh
Thanks.
Inning is what you just
Good
did.
Work.
All right. To keep the sports metaphors going, Kevin, you're up.
A League of Their Own.
A League of Their Own is a great guess, just outside the top 10 at number 11. But an excellent guess. Ralph Garman.
How about the movie that begat a wildly popular for four people TV series, Friday Night Lights?
I don't know where it came in on the list, but no, it's not on the top 10.
Shocking.
That was a great movie, by the way.
Yeah, it was.
That was a great movie. I'm looking down. Well, I won't waste the time, but there's so many good movies on this list. All right, let's go around a couple more times real fast.
Not sure if it's inspirational, but Field of Dreams.
Number five. Number five. Great guess. So we've come up with number one, number three, number four, number five, number six, number seven. I would say this is
pretty good.
Success. Yeah.
All right, I'm going to need some help like Ralph did.
All right,
this is a movie about a black basketball player.
Wait a minute, a black basketball player?
Wait, no, but in the day, there's a lot of racism.
Gosh.
May have been football. I'm not sure.
Could it have been baseball?
Maybe Jackie Robinson.
Could it be 42?
No.
Jackie
okay.
Robinson?
No, but I'll guess that if I can't come up with the actual answer to this one.
With the black basketball player, that one.
Yeah, what was the name? It wasn't that long ago either.
Basketball?
Is that good enough?
It's not on this list.
Omar just said in my headphones, Space Jam.
That's right. Remember all the racism that Bugs Bunny had towards Michael Jordan?
I'm guessing that's not it, but I... let's move on.
Two more guesses. Ralph and Allie rounded out here.
Well, now, you may scoff, but what could be more inspirational than a girl who goes blind and yet continues to professionally ice skate despite her blindness to win the championships? That's right. I'm talking about ice castles.
That's what? Terrible.
Come on. She was blind.
Please don't let this feeling end. It's
okay,
everything
right.
I am.
Right, sure.
And everything I hope
All right,
for.
Good, excellent.
Bum, bum, bum.
I can who's see okay, what's who's mine right,
whose turn is
now.
It? Allie's got the final guess.
Very inspirational.
Mm-hmm.
If you wanted to be a stripper.
Uh-huh. Okay.
Slapshot.
No, I'm sorry.
That's not an inspiration.
That's
not at all.
Very inspirational to me. Yeah.
All right.
Yeah.
Here's the here's the list of the
You're
ones.
The worst at this game ever.
Damn.
Here's the list of the ones we didn't have. By the way, in the top 20, Major League is in it. The Mighty Ducks.
I thought that's why you were bringing it up. By the way,
the Rookie with Dennis Quaid, Cinderella Man, some good stuff. All right, here's your
top. How did we forget The Natural?
The Natural is at number 10, ladies and gentlemen. That is number 10 on the list.
Robert Redford.
Number 9. Maybe we didn't think of this in terms of sports, but I think it's legitimate. The Karate Kid. Number 9. I don't think of it as a sport. Do you?
That's a sport.
That's what they came up with on their list.
No, I don't either, but sweep the leg.
Number
the sport is in the title, The Karate Kid. Yeah. I guess it would be legit.
It's true.
Number 8 on the list of most inspirational sports movies of all time. I saw this movie. It was
Vision
very
Quest
good.
About wrestling?
Matthew McConaughey starred in We Are Marshall, the true story of that college.
Yeah.
I think it was a college football team that died in a plane crash, right?
Yes.
Then
they ate each other on the mountain, right?
The soccer player.
It was in Peru, right?
And then we had a bunch that we got. The Blind Side was 7, then Miracle, Field of Dreams, Hoosiers, Rudy, and the only other one in the top 10 we did not come up with, Hayden Panettiere, Ryan Gosling, and Denzel Washington star in Remember the Titans, number 2 on the list of the most inspirational sports films of all time, thanks to Ranker.com. Huh. This has been B-Mix's Guess.
No Ice Castles?
I'm sorry, no.
B-Mix's Guess, yeah!
106.7 K-Rock is KROQ. You're listening to The Kevin and Bean Show. It is 8:36.
Let's give away some more of those tickets for you two at the Roxy. You guys want to? 1-800-520-1067. Caller 20 if
show's
you want
over.
To go. That biggest
shows,
fan in the world.
That show's over.
Smallest
that was,
club.
It was last night.
You're going to have a great...
That was not, it's last night.
It was... Oh, that's right. Hey, we did talk to the guys. We played the interview earlier today. We'll put it up at KROQ.com if you missed. If you want a chance to hear you two. They were delightful. So much fun catching up with them after the Roxy show. Good times.
Frankie the Weatherman.
Frankie McDonald, Nova Scotia's most beloved weatherman.
He's the guy who started doing the weather forecast. Was it on YouTube? Is that where
he
started?
Yeah. His YouTube channel, Kevin, has over 10 million views. He is popular all over the world with his weather. And what he does is he monitors weather on his home computer, and then he issues warnings to people. You know, for instance, if there's going to be a if there's a chance of a tornado in Oklahoma, he'll come on and he'll make a video just for Oklahoma, and he'll warn everybody. Well, let me give you a little, just a little bit of an example of what Frankie sounds like if you haven't heard him.
This is Frankie McDonald, my old TV station live in Sydney, Nova Scotia. Massive storm is headed towards Nova Scotia on Tuesday, January 27th, 2015. It's going to bring up to 20 plus centimeters of snow. Then it's going to change over to rain. During snowstorms, it's going to cause flooding and drift and snow. It's going to be white old conditions, zero visibility. Roads will be real bad. It's going to be snow-covered roads, streets, highways, and Trans-Canada Highway, because it's going to be a lot of snow.
A lot of snow. Okay.
A lot of snow.
So, Frankie, he does – I don't think he's trying to whip people into a needless frenzy. I think he's just really excited about the weather, and he urges everybody to make sure to have their batteries and have their radios and have their water and pizza. He just wants you to be prepared. Now, last week we talked about him on the show because he issued a very unusual warning for Southern California. We were very confused about this. We got Frankie on the line. We're going to find out what he was talking about here.
This is Frankie McDowell, my own TV station live in Sydney, Nova Scotia. Attention, citizens of California. Severe tackle warning has been issued for California. It's going to be a lot of tacos will be falling from the sky. In the state of California, it's going to bring a ton of tacos will be falling from the sky. Uh-huh. In the state of California and the surrounding areas, people in California, you need to be prepared for a lot of tacos.
A lot of tacos. All right. Frankie McDonald joins us on the line from Nova Scotia right now. Hey, Frankie.
This is Frankie McDonald, my own TV station, live from Sydney, Nova Scotia.
Frankie, great to have you back on the show. Please explain, why is it raining tacos in California?
That was a joke I made about the weather.
Oh, okay, so you're not confused or concerned that there's actually food falling from the sky.
No, that was me doing a very funny joke about the weather, about tacos coming out of the sky.
Okay.
Now, did you make up the joke or did somebody else give it to you?
That was my joke. It was a joke I made about tacos coming out of the sky, as if tacos are weather.
Right. All right. Well, good. Well, maybe we'll ask you about the weather before we go. But there's another story with Frankie McDonald in the news this week about a guy who is such a fan of yours, Frankie, and I'm sure you saw this, that he got a tattoo of your face on his leg.
Yes, on May 22nd, 2015, a gentleman got his face of Frankie McDonald on my own TV station live from Nova Scotia right on his own leg.
His name is Ernest Acosta. He was in Odessa, Texas, and he went in and he had a photograph of you and they put it on his face. I mean, that's an ultimate tribute to have somebody put you on their body for life.
It's very flattering for Frankie McDonald, my own TV station, live from Sydney, Nova Scotia, to be appearing on somebody's leg, putting ink into his skin.
Frankie, did you think it looked like you?
I did think it looked like Frankie McDonald, his own TV station, live from Sydney, Nova Scotia. The tattoo was very much resembled Frankie McDonald from my own TV station, live from Sydney, Nova Scotia.
Now, do you think it was a good idea for somebody to do this, or did he take his fandom too far?
It was an excellent idea for that gentleman to put a tattoo of Frankie McDonald on my own TV station, live from Sydney, Nova Scotia, and write live on his own live leg.
Now, is that the only one that you've heard of, or are other people doing it?
To the best of my knowledge, it is the only tattoo for Frankie McDonald from his own TV station, live from Sydney, Nova Scotia. Everyone has ever tattooed on his body.
Frankie, what is it, if you don't mind me asking, what is it that you find so fascinating about the weather? Why do you spend so much time telling people what their weather is going to be, sometimes thousands of miles away from where you live?
The weather affects everyone, rich or poor, if you're single or married. Everyone has to have the weather and to deal with the weather. It's the most important information you can have. That's why Frankie McDonald, myself, from my own TV station, live from Sydney, Nova Scotia, like to give weather to everyone.
All right, since we have you and we're heading into the weekend, is there anything we need to look out for in Southern California?
This is Frankie McDonald, live from my own TV station, live from Sydney, Nova Scotia. Major warming trend is on its way for Los Angeles and Southern California Friday, May 29, 2015. Los Angeles, California will be having a major warming trend, which means temperatures will be reaching 80 degrees Fahrenheit with partially cloudy, partially sunny conditions. Then on Saturday, May 30, 2015, Los Angeles, California will continue a major warming trend, which means temperatures will be reaching 82 degrees Fahrenheit with partially cloudy conditions in the morning with increasing sunshine.
sunshine in the afternoon. Temperature will be 82 degrees Fahrenheit. A major warming trend is on its way for Los Angeles and Southern California. On Friday, May 29th and May 30th of 2015, it will bring lots of sunshine and warm temperatures. There will be a lot of sun with no precipitation. The moist air is coming mostly from the Gulf of Mexico. That will cause a major warming trend in Southern California from the people in Southern California.
Calm down.
So be prepared and get your flip-flops, your cargo shorts, sun visors, t-shirts, tank tops, swimsuits ready. Order your pizzas and your Chinese food, other good summertime food. Maybe have a barbecue. Buy cases of Pepsi and Coke. Do your sunscreen shopping. Don't wait till the last minute. Do it right now. Have your iPads, your iPods, your cell phones, laptops, and tablets charged. Have your 3G and 4G internet connectors running just in case the power goes out due to air conditioners running day and night. Have your flashlights, generators, crank up, radio, extra batteries, and battery operated lanterns ready. When you're driving your car, turn on your air conditioning, or perhaps you can roll your windows down to get some fresh air. Or if you have a convertible car, put the roof down on the convertible car to allow the sunshine and warming temperatures to enter inside your car in Southern California. The major warming trend is on its way for Los Angeles and Southern California on Friday, May 29, 2015. It will bring sunshine and warm temperatures, especially in Los Angeles County and the cities surrounding it.
Right.
Agoura Hills, California. Alhambra, California. California. Artesia, California.
Southern
California. Azusa, California. Baldwin Park, California. Bell, California. Bell Gardens, California. Bell Flower, California.
We got it, Frank.
Beverly Hills, California.
Skip this part.
Bradbury, California. Burbank, California.
No, we understand the whole area. He's up to the seas.
Cerritos, California. Claremont, California.
Everybody in Southern California. Warm weather.
Compton, California. Covina, California.
Frankie.
Cudahy. What the hell kind of name city is that?
I don't know, to be honest.
Cudahy. C-U-D-A-H-Y.
Apparently it's a place, Frankie.
Huh.
She's a carver. She's a butcher with a smile. Cut me farther than I've ever been.
Boom. 21 Pilots. They were just here. They were just here yesterday in the Red Bull Soundspace studio performing live. And I believe, if I'm not mistaken, you can still watch that over at krock.com if you want to check out 21 Pilots. I love that song, and apparently they were awesome yesterday, so you can watch for yourself. It is the best of Kevin and Bean here on the world-famous K-Rock. I'm Ralph Garman, sitting in while the boys are doing whatever it is that they do in their private life. I don't want to know. I don't ask too many questions because I don't want to get the answers. But we are playing the best of Kevin and Bean. I am still here doing live showbiz beats. All last week, all this week, and I want to thank Brad Williams for stopping by this today. We had a good time. That was really fun. The last showbiz beat of the day. Before we say goodbye, we'll be back tomorrow. And Beer Mug will be here tomorrow, so you know it's going to be a party. There ain't no party like a beer mug party. We have some big news maybe to break tomorrow. I don't know. We'll see. I might actually fire him while Kevin and Bean are out of town. I might take advantage of my executive power while they're gone.
That is awesome.
Just drop the guillotine. This is pretty exciting. I just saw it online. You may want to check it out, too. The trailer for Sharktopus versus Whalewolf has just dropped on YouTube. That's right. You remember Sharktopus. Damn you, Sharktopus! Classic creature feature that started all over there on the Sci-Fi Channel. Well, it's back. It's Sharktopus versus Whale Wolf. I'm guessing that's half whale, half wolf. It'll be on Sci-Fi on July the 19th, on Sunday. That's when that premieres. So go on YouTube and check that out because it's pretty awesome. It's going to be a great month for Sci-Fi. You've got Sharknado 3, Hell Yeah, whatever it's called. That's going to be on in July. Sharktopus versus Whalewolf, of course. And then, not to toot my own horn, but the premiere of Lavalantula, which features me and Steve Guttenberg fighting giant lava-spewing spiders.
USA! USA!
Yes.
USA!
Yes, boys and girls, we live in a golden age of television. Don't let anybody tell you different. While we're talking trailers, last night the first trailer for Creed, the Rocky spinoff, dropped, and I learned that I was sort of off base when I was talking about this film earlier when I heard they were making it. I assumed it was another written and directed by Sylvester Stallone project. Of course, it is, of course, a spin-off and continuation of the Rocky Balboa saga, but no, it turns out that it's written and directed by Ryan Coogler, who did an amazing film called Fruitvale Station.
which introduced us to the actor Michael B. Jordan. Michael B. Jordan returns to work with his Fruitvale Station director in this film, where he plays Adonis Creed, the son of Apollo Creed, who takes upon himself to start a career like his father in boxing, and decides to enlist the help of Rocky Balboa to train him and get him ready to fight for it all. So it looks really cool. Looks like it's a really interesting film, maybe because Stallone did not write it or direct it, but it looks really good. Here is a little taste of the first trailer for Creed.
This pitch is from the 10th round of the first fight, right? I heard about a third fight between you and Apollo behind closed doors. Is that true?
How do you know all this?
I'm a son. A great fighter once said, it ain't about how hard you can hit. It's about how hard you can get hit and keep moving forward.
This guy here, that's the toughest opponent you're ever going to have to face.
Toughest opponent.
I think that's true in the ring, and I think that's true in life.
It's true in life.
Show me something.
Come on, fight the fight. I'll fight the big fight.
Can't help it. I love these damn movies. I'm excited. Foo Fighter news. We're all bummed out when Dave got hurt and canceled their upcoming concerts, but it looks like the North American tour may happen. Yesterday on the band's Facebook page, the following was posted. Can't effing wait for the fourth. See you at home, D.C. We're hoping that believes the bit, that means the big 20th anniversary concert at RFK Stadium is on. And then that will kick off the North American tour, starting on Independence Day and ending on October the 18th here close to home at Castaic, California. So no word yet on how Dave's going to be able to manage this, but anybody can. It's Dave Grohl. He is a he's the superhero of rock and roll. Sad news about Bennifer. You probably heard by now, Ben Affleck and Jennifer Garner have released a statement saying, after much thought and careful consideration, we have made the difficult decision to divorce. However, because they are celebrities, they still love each other very much, and they will go forward with love and friendship for one another as they co-parent their three children. That's why celebrities are better than us, boys and girls, because they can get divorced and still love their ex so much that they have a better relationship than they did before.
Nope.
Yep, that's how it works. They are, of course, asking for privacy in this very difficult time. Do I say, why is it so difficult? If there's so much love and friendship, this should be a glorious time. We should all be celebrating. We should all join hands and sing Kumbaya and make a daisy chain.
Nope.
Nope. Today's celebrity birthdays, Liv Tyler. She's 38 years old today. Daughter, of course, of Steven Tyler from Aerosmith, but a lovely, talented actress in her own right. Missy Elliott's 44. Pamela Anderson is 47 years old today. I'm catching some heat because earlier in the show, doing the show BizBeat, I gave Pam Anderson sort of a Hall of Fame bell. But then a bunch of you started sending me current photos of Pam and started to chastise me for my belling of Pam Anderson. And look, I would say, okay, maybe she's not the sex bomb, the sex symbol she was back in her Baywatch heyday. But I still think, for all the pleasure she's given many of us, 4 or 5 minutes at a time over the years, she deserves a bell for her duty, for her service to her country, even though she's Canadian, her service to the world. There, I'm giving her a bell and I'm standing by it. Yeah, I don't care. I don't have to play by your rules. I'm a rogue cop. I play by my own rules. I have my shield and badge if you don't like it. That's the same thing. My shield and my gun. My badge and my gun. And Dan Aykroyd, 63 years old today. And singer Deborah Harry of the legendary band Blondie is 70 years old today. Give me a little Blondie as we head home today, Chip. Can I get a little taste? Oh, love the song.
And tell you of my dreaming. Dreaming is free. Dreaming. Dreaming is free.
Debbie Harry, lead singer for Blondie, 70 years old today.
All right, so glad you're mentioning Blondie and Deborah Harry. She's one of the great singers, girl singers of one of my favorite bands, Blondie. A lot of people think she is Blondie, but she's not. She's blonde, but she's not D.
Thank you, Rodney. Thanks for stopping by. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.